What's up, guys? You are listening to Race Brain. No, this is not Rich Ryan. Rich Ryan doesn't have the internet, so you're getting me, Kirk, introing our episode today. Today was kind of a free flow. We have some fun and good discussion, but not about anything in particular. I give a SoCal recap, kind of jabber a little bit about Spartan racing. We do a little bit of a would you rather, which is entertaining and around racing particulars. Talk about the origin of Race Brain podcast, how we got this going. And then like just a lot of nonsense and fluff that you might not get much out of, but I think you'll enjoy the listen. So that's what's coming at you today. Not much going on in the OCR hybrid space this week. So you get a hodgepodge. Enjoy.
All right, we're on. We did it. A little bit of shaking and moving around. We got Bracken. He's our anchor, holding things down, just being as consistent as possible. Bracken, thank you for doing that for us.
You're welcome. I'm surprised you're in your house. I kind of expected you to just be like waking up, kind of looking like that, but in like a burned out shell of a cop car or like next to a broken down, destroyed street lamp.
I'm wearing this Eagles hat until that Super Bowl date happens. It works as cold stocking cap, or is sure. if there's a stocking fluff on cap. The top stocking cap.
Yeah. Did you riot this weekend?
I think if I would have rioted, I definitely would have been arrested. I think rioting was only allowed on Broad Street. Did you guys catch any of the videos of it? I mean, I'm plugged into the Philly network stuff. There's like a dude like standing on like a door or something who was being like crowd surfed along this like mob of people across Broad Street, which is like a 4-lane highway. It's like the main road. Every town has Broad, right? Just like the middle of the city. And he had this like a fanny pack of Jello shots and a book bag of Jello shots. And he had a toy bow, I guess. And was just taking the Jello shots and shooting them into the crowd while crowd surfing with the people. Absolute legend, legendary stuff there. I'm sure people are very happy.
You know that guy was like fully prepped before the game. He's like, we're doing it. So what would have happened if they lost? He would have just been like this guy at home with a bunch of arrows that were unused, I guarantee you.
How many Jello shots you realistically think you could take? I don't think you could get that drunk from Jello shots. I think that all the time, and then I do them, and then I'm wrong. But like,
how? I think they're dangerous.
That's why, right? You can't really taste them. They don't like, it doesn't give you much feedback as to like, oof. Mm. Shouldn't be doing that much more. But do you think you could do like 20?
No.
Why couldn't you?
That's what I said. I'm asking.
Like in an eating contest, yeah, you could take 20 down. And then you would very shortly after deal with the ramifications.
Because how much Jello? It's like an ounce of Jello. I mean, how much Jello do you think you could eat?
Well, a shot's an ounce and a half, right? So 20 Jello shots puts us at however many, 35 ounces of Jello. That's like a Gatorade bottle plus a full size. You could put that down.
I could just like, and then go do stuff. I could like go shopping.
I would love to watch your shopping trip. Just like some Jello shot drunk Philly guy just banging into all the aisles, knocking cereal off the shelves.
Getting mad at the aisles themselves.
I appreciate
into me.
That Philly has protocols in place where they have acceptable versus unacceptable riot streets. Mm-hmm. Like when you riot this weekend, which you will, please confine yourself to Broadway.
Broad Street.
Like, yeah, we, no way. Yeah, we got you. But we're gonna mess that place up.
You see how they before every big game, they grease the poles. They take Crisco and they put it on the poles. Yeah. It doesn't stop people. They adapt.
Do you guys have like one of those... like a fake, like it's a fake Western, old Western town. Do you have like a fake on Broad Street? Are all the shop fronts just kind of like a movie set where they're designed to be destroyed and they'll just pop a new set up next weekend?
It should be like that. The storefronts actually end up being okay. It's like the thing that I think that collapsed was like a bus stop awning. People just like people get on top of stuff they shouldn't be on top of. And that's what kind of breaks.
Definitely designed for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
People guy forgets to move his car is just screwed.
Yeah. That's not great. I don't know if they flipped many cars.
one's enough.
Yeah. I don't know if that happened. It is funny how just like a sporting event affects the behavior and the mood of basically an entire city.
That's not it.
Yeah.
That's simmering below the surface. They would do it every day if they're allowed to. They just get permission to be themselves once every few years.
And it like does lighten the mood, though. It is kind of like the Purge. Yeah. Just gets it out. It does, like, I mean, I'm obviously not there now being in Colorado, but there when in 2008, 17, 18, people were like happier. It's not a nice time of the year to be there. And generally around this time, people are at their most miserable, but people are like, hey, go Birds. I'm like, yeah, go Birds, man. Like, I don't hate you right now. I'll hate you like in a month. But like it does, it really affects the mood of the city in a positive way.
Wow.
Yeah, New England, where I grew up, is generally just full of a bunch of assholes. But every time the Patriots are on and, like, you know, the Red Sox had some success, I think within one decade, each of the big four sports teams won a championship. So it was like people were just pleasant way more often than when I was growing up.
Yeah, no one really cares about New England, though.
It's really bad here, but they have linked very clearly domestic violent rates with the Packers win-loss record.
Ooh, that's not tough. Good. That's tough.
It's a big drinking state. And on losses, domestic violent rates skyrocket in Wisconsin. And that's like
1,000%. They go up about tenfold on a Packers loss Sunday.
It's such a bad stat.
That's bad. That's tough. I bet Buffalo's like that too.
I imagine most cities, smaller cities that host NFL teams, are probably like
cold cities. Small cold cities. If it's like nice out, if you're like a Chargers fan, I'm gonna go outside.
Go Chargers.
Is that an LA accent? What is that? Yeah.
You never see that? Arnold Schwarzenegger started the game one time, and he couldn't do it right. He said, "Go Chargers, go, go Chargers." No. It was just classic him. He couldn't get it out correctly.
I guess an Arnold accent is basically a California accent. But now, hey, good. We got a segue here. We're talking about championships. Talking about California. We got Kirk to win here.
And we're talking about Arnold. Did you see Kirk's left arm when he had the pump earlier today? So
he's got that on a 10x10 bicep curls. He's been doing those.
I don't do bicep curls. Today? Those are a waste of time. Yeah, I do my knees out.
Let's see the knees.
It's that whole freaking, you know,
yikes.
Olympus crap.
I don't miss that.
No, I don't. That's the only negative out of this weekend is my knees. Like wearing pants, dreadful. I thought about recording in my underwear like Bracken does often, but I'm decent, so I have shorts on.
Take that. Tell us about the race. You won one, but then you ran into an absolute legend, a monster.
Buzzsaw.
On the sprint.
Yeah, real buzzsaw. It was a fun weekend. We do I don't think our episode's out yet, Bracken. I didn't look, but
by the time this airs, it is.
How is it? We do a full recap on the Running Public, so I won't go. I don't need to like bore people twice. We broke down the race and the takeaways and had a lot of good conversations with people like Steve Hammond, kind of understanding the flow of the year. So we talked about all that, but race was good, man. It was busy. 7,000 people were there.
Wow.
In total over the weekend, which is like the biggest numbers they've seen, in like 2 years at an event. Had the real vibes of kind of the old days, you know, droves of people all day racing. And OCR is not running. And I found that out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. OCR is OCR. Yeah. And so it feels different than these calculated, perfectly managed run training efforts that I've been doing, which are going fantastic. Half of that went out the window as soon as you start to feel compromised. So it was exactly what I was hoping to get out of the weekend, was to come away and reframe my mind, you know. Fitness is really good. Just you can't access it all unless you train that specific, you know, those specific modalities. So found out what I figured I'd find out.
It's the lamest part about OCRs. How fit are you? Doesn't matter.
It mattered enough because I still did all right. But won. Like felt like you cut off at the knees about halfway through a race and it felt really good. Like that like I'm sure you feel in the high rocks that like your whole chest fills up and you're like, oh my God, why am I working so hard when I'm not moving that fast? And where did this come from? It's like that feeling that I haven't felt in a while. And it was oddly satisfying.
Were you intimidated by the 20-person elite start? That's pretty sizable these days.
bigger than any elite start I'd seen recently. So very much. They started the women and men together. So there were like 35 of us.
That's
in there.
So overdue.
Bracken,
so overdue.
You want to go?
Yeah, I got to play hype man for him because he's not going to make excuses. And OCR is built upon pre and post race excuses.
What excuses are you making for me right now?
Kirk's back went out last week. People didn't know this.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that.
And afterwards, we chatted after day one prior to day two, and he was not even going to race. His SI is all shooting down into there, so he couldn't stride out day two. He was like Willis Reed coming out of the tunnel kind of performance. It was a gritty day two. That doesn't take away from Glenn, but Kirk put the team on his back on day two. He didn't need to be out there.
And Kirk, you were mentioning that your compromise running, you know, you kind of felt OCR again when that happened. I was watching some of that Mark Batras live video, you getting over the hurdles and a few things. You made up ground on a few of those things. So I wouldn't doubt yourself right there.
But it's like Z-Wall. I'd lost 5 seconds because I have PTSD from falling off in Jacksonville in February. Like, I'm just like, was extra cautious. And then I lost time there on the rig, extra grips, just like lose 3 seconds there. I'd run Glenn back down. And it's like, you can't get away with that if you're going to go race big series racers. That needs to tighten up.
I would say you definitely lost it on the Sunday race, specifically on the rig. And it's probably because it was wet a little bit and you just looked pretty tentative there. And Glenn put a few more seconds on you. You were matching everything up until that point. And it was a 22 minute race or something like that. It was quick. Yeah. And you guys were definitely moving on day two. And since it was flatter, it was night, you got to see a lot of the speed for once in an OCR as opposed to just grinding uphill. But I think that, it was probably that rig where you lost it. Just
I grabbed so what I was doing on Sunday, and my back was bad. I told Bracken this, but, like after the race on Saturday, I'm like walking to the porta potties and like my legs gave out from underneath me. Like my back got stabbed by a knife. You know that feeling where like the nerve thing and it just buckles? Well, that kept happening all day Saturday. So I'm doing this, what, pigeon stretch or whatever the heck it's called.
Half pigeon.
Trying to work it out. And then like even before bed, it was still there. And I said, I'm going to wake up, go to the venue, warm up, and I'll race. And if it grabs, then I'll just pull myself. And it was like, I couldn't run fully upright because if I push my hips through, my back would pinch. So I just waited as long as I could for the race to start. And Glenn made a move at a mile. I was just like, I'm just going to run with the front. And then when the race starts, like I'll push that off as long as I can. And Glenn made a strong move and then it was on. And then I thought, oh, we're going to get to the Herkoist at the end. I can lose 5 seconds. I will beat him on the Herkoist. And then I'll out carry him at the end, because it was only like half mile. There were two carries in the last half mile in the Herkoist. I said, I'm stronger than Glenn. I can carry faster than Glenn. I'll just bide my time. And I was working hard. No discredit. Like I was starting to work. Well, dude carried like a boss and outdid me on the Herkoist. I was like, well, I got nothing on him now.
He's been training for hybrid performance.
My strategy did not pay off. So he outperformed me. He's a better racer than I was Sunday. But now I'm fired up. Yeah. I'm ready to go spend all my money traveling around the U.S. to make no dollars.
what I thought was really just one quick thing on the course. You just mentioned the Herkoist. What was it, like 100 meters right to the finish, just an all-out sprint like we've been talking about how we want? If you matched him on that Herkoist, Glenn took off. Like he's like, I'm about to drop a sub 1300 meters right
coming
there.
Off Helix.
Helix. Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, this looks like it's going to be an awesome finish, but just a few seconds apart.
And then I made a real risky move on Helix trying to just make up time, and I almost fell. And then I saw Glenn was ahead, and then I just coasted in. But what I didn't think about was like, after going through the dunk wall, that water's like 45 degrees. It's awful. And I went to pull in the Herkoist. I'm like, my arms aren't working. Like I can't generate power because I'm like numb still. And like those feelings you forget about in OCR that like I'm cold and my body doesn't work feeling. Yeah, it was SoCal, but like those things you all forget about after you're away for a while.
And you're in a cotton shirt too.
I was trying to rep.
I love the rep, but that doesn't shed. Well. No, I was trying a nice to heavy rep. Cling to you.
What the running public shirts cotton? I thought that was like a tri-blend, a little poly in there. Yeah.
A little poly,
a little nylon, tri-blend.
Yeah. Sticks you like cellophane once you're through everything. But no, I don't have much else to report other than it was freaking good to be back. And I know it's like people are kind of waffling over the state of the sport and how things are going to feel. And this was a very low stress and low profile race. And there was a lot of good energy there. It was busy and packed and like all the good vibes. Everybody, it was just felt kind of like Spartan, I remember it like years ago where you just show up and everybody's there, and to just have an experience, there was not a lot of egos like there usually. I mean, there really isn't that typically, but it just felt like it should be, like kind of back to normal. I don't know if it'll continue to feel like that once we get to like the 3K format. Obviously, that might change, but from my perspective, it was a nice little weekend. So.
So what were some of some changes, right? Is this the first race of the year? Did you win the first race of the year?
Shit. Yeah, I did.
Top of the list. Jack will compile a list at the end of the year of all the winners, and you will be on the first.
I'm just stopping the list. I don't keep track of it starting on Sunday after. So Kirk's the year long leader, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Boy. I don't want to speak it into existence, but if another pandemic hits, you're going to have the only Saturday win for the year.
And his percentage of victory over Glenn's percentage of victory, Jack.
Glenn didn't race the day before, so Glenn's sitting at 100. But maybe I can do like a minimum 2 races qualifier.
You should take away points from him.
Yeah, he had fresh legs.
Was closer than Ethan was to Kirk. That seems to make sense in my brain.
Hashtag certified fresh legs.
I will tell you though, so I haven't thrown I feel redundant, but I guess people, if they don't listen to our podcast, I haven't thrown a spear since San Luis Obispo, abysmal catastrophe. Not once. Okay. I haven't thrown. I just wanted to go have fun this weekend, low pressure. And I missed my spear both days.
Was it it was a different setup, right? Is what I'm curious about from you, Kirk. It's like, what kind of things that we can see that were different? Like, were there any of the new obstacles or anything? Or
nothing was new other than the spear throw setup. And I will say the surface area of the new spear is probably half of that of any of the other – half to two-thirds of any of the other targets. And there's a board around, you know, the strike zone. So if you miss, you get like a really firm rejection because your spear hits a board and gets rejected back at you. So you're really going to have to get dialed in. Bracken mentioned this on our conversation we had yesterday that'll air here shortly, but like a lot of spear throws end up in the right corner, left corner, far right, far left. Like not many hit that nice Spartan circle in the middle when you watch pros hit it. Well, you got to hit that now every time.
Does it need to stick or no?
Yeah, it needs to stick still.
So why? Why did they
So the justification was they blocked the outside of the hay bales because what happens is the hay bales get chipped away at and fluffed, and then you end up hitting soft hay. They deteriorate on the edges. So they're not allowing spears to stick into the edges. So all the spears, so if you hit the spear legit, I didn't see a single one fall. I went through after the race and it's like even a shaddy throw would stick because the hay bale just keeps its integrity in the middle instead of falling apart. So that was the idea. And they had said that their former foam targets that they were using were roughly a grand a piece with the foam density.
What?
Right. And no, and here's where I actually believe them. So I'm I shoot bow, like a bow and
jello shot bow.
Yeah. And those dense archery targets, like an archery target, which is way smaller, are upwards of $100 because the type of foam refills itself. It's very dense. And like, that's for a little archery target. So I could see the whole spear throw setup being at least a $500+ foam target because how many times it's being stuck with a blunt end. And so I think this is one, them trying to cut costs, and this is the best way they could keep the integrity of the obstacle by doing so. That's my guess. So for what that's all worth.
What if they just replaced it with lasers?
A laser spear.
What if it's just a laser spears?
That's a great idea. You should
put on a VR headset and you throw a virtual spear.
Yeah. One-time cost.
The other thing I think people will be interested, the only other difference was all penalty loops. And this was a very tight venue. Like they had not a lot of space to work with. So you're going back and forth all over. Right. But they said the goal of the penalty loops was 45 to 60 seconds roughly. So they make penalty loop
shorter.
Yeah, much shorter. And the spear was like maybe 30 seconds because they had a tight space there. But I think that's what you can expect for the future is like a 45 to 60 second for the, I don't know, age group athlete running hard roughly for the penalty loop, which is just enough to make it a penalty, but just light enough to maybe keep the race interesting. It's not as catastrophic. So
do you feel like Ethan Brown hit his spear and he got ahead of you two? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like if the penalty loop was it the right amount, not just for your own personal outcome, but Do you think it would have been more fair to be that, or was it the right length? How do you feel on that?
Well, Ethan's parents didn't think so. They said he would have won if it was burpees. I said, you're right, but he didn't. And it's not burpees. I think it was fair. It was exciting. When I missed and I saw him hit, I was like, oh yeah, I get to work. Like that was exciting. I was exhilarated, and I think I would have been completely deflated otherwise. So for me, I enjoyed it. It was like me and Glenn, I was like, let's go get him. And so I don't know. You could argue either way on that one, but there was no judgment calls to be made about burpee form. And that's a big, and that's, I think, is all that matters.
This could be potentially a game changer for stadium races, because now you can't put failable obstacles in hallways unless you have a very creative way of having a loop. You're going to have this spear outside. You're going to have monkey bars clear outside. You're going to, what else can you fail in a stadium?
But they could make penalties. They could make penalties non-running, couldn't they?
The race,
like something else.
You could have a short crawl down and back, but it's just so compact that you're going to have to be, they're going to have to set up their courses very intentionally to make sure that you have penalty loop areas.
Who cares about stadiums?
If they're stadiums, I care. They're stadion.
Stadion.
Yeah.
No, no, no cares. Stadion. Stadion? Ion.
Stadion.
Was it warm there, Kirk? I mean, I'm feeling a little bit of that winter blues. It wasn't warm.
It was 43 when we took off on Saturday morning, and it was 48, but overcast on Sunday morning. So cold, like in stocking caps and gloves after the race. So not much reprieve. Enough sun to turn me a little pink on Saturday. So I got what I wanted.
How cold is it in Colorado right now?
It's cold. It's always, it's always enough sun to turn Jack a little pink. But he could go outside right now.
I shut those blinds.
It wouldn't be good for him. Yeah, no. But
that would be deadly. Yeah,
it's been cold. It's been snowing. It's sure been snowing.
You know, I think one last thing I'll add about this, and then we can move on, is I was watching Mark Botchus's live feed, and just looking at us, like I'm like, God, we look slow. Like, oh, do I look slow? And whether it's the deceit of the camera. Or, you know, the camera takes speed out of everything on top of it being OCR running. But like looking at this sport, like I feel like my run metrics are pretty good right now, as good as they've been since I found this sport. But if I were a runner and I didn't know this sport and then I tuned in to watch this, I would think it's a bunch of JV athletes out there running 7:30 pace, thinking like they're cool, puffing their chests out.
Yeah.
Like the way it appeared looked very uninspiring from like a runner being like, maybe I'm thinking about it. And then they look and they're like, Why am I going to compete? This isn't competitive. That's how it felt. It looked. And then I was in the race coming off a like dunk wall. And yeah, I was moving 7:30 pace for 50 yard stretch. I'm like, oh, no wonder. Like this is slow. You forget about that. I've just been speed and enjoying it and rhythmic. And from the outside looking in, I could see somebody like it aesthetically does not look impressive. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but I mean, I felt that in the race is what I'm saying.
That's not a new observation. I feel like
I've always
every single for like the past decade plus, I feel like any real runner who's looking at it is like, I could come in here and smash people. And then reality sets in once you do it. Good luck running that pace that you think you can.
You do it for a mile.
Yeah.
Well, I was a couple walls. In the moment, I've recognized this, but in the moment I'm like, oh yeah, this is it right here. Like I get out of barbed wire crawl and start running 7 minute pace. But I'm like red line. I'm like, oh yeah, this is very unimpressive. So I can I just was recognizing in the moment how different it was than all the running I've been doing for the last 10 months. It's like, oh, there it is. That's all.
I've thought about this. I think about this a lot, right? Like generally the athletes who are coming into here, you know, are good athletes to a certain respect, but at a point there's a whole different level of people who are accomplished in some field or another that OCR, hybrid, whatever are not. But OCR in particular, it just has become its own skill, right? Mm-hmm. It's like its own thing. It's like, it doesn't matter what your running metrics are, like really what, like climbing and trail running matters some, but like all those other things, it's like, it's its own thing. And I've just have to accept that that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not good. It doesn't matter if you're not a good runner, if you're good at OCR.
A question I had actually, I'm glad we should talk about this real quick is, so Rich, I'm not going to let any cats out of the bag, but you were asking me to do High Rocks North American Champs with you doubles.
We have a big announcement here.
Oh, we are announcing. Okay. I didn't know I'm not sharing anything. I'll let you guys share that. But my question was, so I felt the feeling of OCR, but I feel like it has to be a fraction of the misery that if I were to join you in doubles at High Rocks, it would have been a whole nother level of metabolic overload, especially like chest and heart wise. Is it, would you compare the feelings to be very similar, or are they completely astronomically different? That's what my curiosity is. It's like, oh, I don't know if I'd be ready for a Hyrox if it's this on steroids.
We could all answer this. Bracken, do you have an answer on this one?
I think they're different. I don't think OCR running feels like Hyrox. They felt like my Sims prior to realizing how you need to sim a Hyrox. And then I realized OCR running feels a little more like Deca. But Hyrox is a different beast to me. You spend too long doing each thing. Sometimes getting on and off something quick where you brace and get hit and have to get back to running quick is more damaging than spending 3 minutes doing an exercise. And other times doing 3 minutes doing an exercise just gives you such a deep fatigue that there's nothing outside of like a 1,000-foot climb mm-hmm. that can get you to that place in OCR. So mm-hmm. like they're cousins, but on different sides of the country. I think it feels very different, but I do think doubles yeah. would feel more like that because you get those little breaks.
Right.
A standard Hyrox is just different.
That's kind of what I was thinking, just like how things kind of undulate in OCR. It's like, because there are things literally stopping you, whether it's the footing or a wall, walls are hard, a hay bale, where like you can't necessarily get into a specific feeling of like suffering. Like you're kind of suffering the whole time, but in it just like moves back and forth. And Hyrox, you can kind of set yourself into a suffering kind of zone, to me, I feel like. And you can mm-hmm. kind of keep moving. So it feels
more calculated.
It's definitely more calculated. Yeah. It can feel worse because you can put yourself further because there's less barriers in your way from stopping, from killing yourself. But just like the suffering and the slow and the stop and go of OCR, I think OCR feels slower.
Yeah. I think since you guys were going to do the team race, it's going to be a different experience. Bracken, you've done several for Hyrox with Callie. You get breaks. That's
and Michelle. Help you. Michelle Aiken, yep. don't get left out here.
Orlando champ. Dude put on a clinic running with those kettlebells. He's running like freaking. Yeah. How fast do you think? If you had to do a 400 with those kettlebells, 47? 48, looked like it.
48 high.
Okay.
If we had a good handoff.
But yeah, I think that teams is going to be a lot different. Rich, how he described Hyrox, like the event itself, 100% agree. I think that it's difficult to compare hybrid racing versus OCR, though, because like, what's the shortest thing? A minute and a half or so in for the farmers carrying Hyrox, and 25, 30 seconds if you're really good at box jump overs in DECA. That's way longer than you'll spend on any obstacle in OCR. So you can't really compare it. The compromise running, I would say, feels more like Hyrox, in my opinion, because you can't really open up to 5K pace too often in OCR once you're past like the first mile and fatigue sort of sets in. But you can kind of hold your 5K splits are a little bit slower than what you'd actually run in a flat out 5K when in DECA when you do your 10x500. But I would say the feeling is more like what you'd feel for the 1,000 meter repeats in Hyrox.
Which is a testament as to why OCR appears so slow at times out on course, then that would make yeah. sense. See, Rich, for you, I was curious because was it last year you ran the Colorado Springs Spartan?
Sure did.
Got worked a little bit compared to...
I've made the choice to not have my knees look the way yours do. I literally thought about all of this. Like, I could go knees here, or I could enjoy the next 10 days of my life. That's what I decided to do.
You're a smarter man than I am because mine are oozing pus right now. And when I shower, they bleed. It's gross. But so for you, like I firmly believe I know how I would and I coach athletes for hybrid racing to experience that feeling. I believe I have a really good grasp on that for never doing one as good as I can. But like last year, you had a really good Hyrox season and it culminated well, but you also did dip your toes in the Spartan waters. So you had like a really direct comparative. Did your Hyrox fitness translate to that course or did it not? Like what I'm asking is this. So I have a couple athletes who are, we're waffling over what to do here. They're doing both. They're doing OCR Spartans and they're doing Hyrox or DECA. And they want to focus on one and then the other might be a by the way. And the debate is like, do we train you more like an OCR athlete and then we kind of figure it out for hybrid, or do we train you like a hybrid athlete? We'll just figure it out for OCR. Like what focused translates better to the other? That's like a current experiment I'm going through with some of my athletes. And so since you raced both in a short amount of time last year, that's why I'm asking you.
Yeah.
And maybe you did too, Jack, right?
yeah, I didn't exactly walk home with the world title. And I think four carts in the bad comparison for Rich because that course isn't.
I heard, and it was nasty. It was like right after like my downtime too. And like,
yeah, I ran four Carson 2 weeks after I had, or maybe 3 weeks after I had COVID, and I was still a wreck. So
it was an interesting question though. I would think that like just what I found, especially getting older, is like the specificity matters so much to me that I can't expect to do well in anything else if I'm not preparing directly for it. But I would think that you would need to prepare for high rocks, and I think that would translate better to OCR just because there's more skill involved in high rocks. Like the specific stations take like very like calculated approaches, where after a while you get through OCR, you're like, I can do monkey bars, and if I don't do them in 10 seconds, I'll do them in 12, and that's fine, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I would think, but I don't know. Bracken, what do you think on that?
Well, I did my first high rocks after training for stadiums, and then I did like three sims and raced, and then I did my second one having done just high rocks. And I think that if you did OCR training with like a Hyrox finisher per week, you'd be good at OCR and really struggle at Hyrox. Mm-hmm. But if you did Hyrox training and an OCR finisher per week, you'd be very good at Hyrox and you'd be pretty decent at OCR. Yeah. I think like Hyrox training, a full Hyrox build, is maybe the best OCR base work you can do, because then you can sharpen into transitions. That's the only thing you're lacking, is changing paces. You see that with Dylan Scott. He has mastered his work rate for Hyrox, but he seems to not translate as well to a Spartan course or to a Deca, because it's the like snapping in and out of strides and turns and transitions highlight a place that he's missed in training. Whereas in Hyrox, he can sit in a gear and just keep it there the whole time. So I think you train for the big event, the hybrid, and then you sharpen to OCR.
And that's what I've been erring on with the athletes, which is my intuition tells me the same. And that's what we've been doing. But I was curious if anybody had any counter arguments. So that sounds like we probably think the same there.
Go ahead, Bracken.
The big thing is that you can't coast any section of Hyrox other than the machines and the run. Like no other station, you can't coast lunges, you can't coast burpee broad jump, well maybe a little, you can't coast the sleds. You can either work hard or you're standing still recovering for your next bout. Or an OCR, if you come in 90% prepared or 85, you can just move a little slower, like Rich said, give up a few seconds on an obstacle or whatever. There is no version of that on a sled. You just stand still if you can't move it or if you're not recovering. So it's hard. If you're doing DECA, you can do whatever, I think, and be okay. If you're doing Hyrox, you have to do Hyrox.
Mm-hmm. If you guys want a comparison from your podcast, it's like Fred Clary. You're overprepared. You're never going to hit something in OCR that you really can't handle, besides maybe like a weird grip thing if you're training for Hyrox. Like you're going to have such like more durability to get beat up by some of these things, which is going to translate really well for compromise, in my opinion. And you have 4 minute plus thousand, like roughly 4 minutes for the 1,000 meter repeats. That's a lot better. That like you're doing that often in OCR. You're having these long, like half mile plus stretches without really any obstacle that's going to make a difference, now that they have a lot of these things in clusters or gauntlets. So I think definitely Hyrox style training is going to pay off better.
I did 11 weeks to prepare for my second Hyrox and ran a pretty mediocre time, but I finished.
How much better though? How much better than your first?
I got 10 minutes off, but I still ran like 67 or 69. Like
that was old school with 25 meters.
Yeah, bolts. That's old school. But the point is, nasty. I finished those 11 weeks and thought, you give me 6 weeks and I could be ready for any event on this planet. Mm. Like I could go translate to big mountains real quick, or sharpen down to a sprint, or kind of lengthen my threshold work and do a beast. I'm 6 to 8 weeks from any championship on the planet right now off what I just did in these 11 weeks to prep for Hyrox. Whereas if you did an 11 week OCR block, you're not 6 weeks away from rocking a Hyrox. You're 6 weeks away from being able to start doing real training for Hyrox after getting all the bad stuff out of the way.
Yeah, maybe throw in some, Yeah, make sure you throw in trail running in between there. Like, I'd focus on high rocks, but make sure that you at least hit a couple of the skills.
Because you're aerobic sort of work on trails.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because there's a huge difference. Once you're, like, on the roads or just run on the treadmill for a while, and then you get back on the trails, you're like, oh, I'm not as good as I used to be on these. So you need to maintain that skill.
It'd be cool if you could set up your sleds and your stations in a parking lot and then do your run on the trail. That'd be like the ultimate hybrid training.
Cloverfield. We're back. It always comes back. But yeah,
I think you'd get yourself like 95% of the way there. If you trained like a high rocks athlete and then you were lucky enough to have a Spartan or an OCR gym close by and you go chill there once a week and just get the skill work of moving through things. I don't see any reason why that wouldn't be probably your best bet. All in on hybrid. Just make sure you're comfortable moving through space with your feet off the ground at an obstacle gym once a week. And I think that'd be the most efficient way to do it.
For sure.
Simply that simple. Yeah. I agree with all that.
But you could have definitely felt this. You could have tested it out yourself. I started planting seeds, I don't know, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. Hey, this qualification is not looking great for me. Doubles might happen. Kurt, what do you think? Good way to dip your toe in. It's like, yeah, dude, I've been thinking about doing that. And hey, you want to do this? He's like, no, I absolutely don't want to do this with you. So Kurt bailed on me just like High Rocks has bailed on me. Everything is just like coming down in pieces right on my head.
Why don't you keep talking about what's going on then? Since you got denied by me, did your second choice come through?
Did I ask Rylan? He said no.
Okay. Oh, Bracken. I mean, sorry. Can you continue?
Then I asked Jared Newby. He said no. And then I was like, BK, how you feeling, dude? Are you ready to do this? And he was like, let's fucking go. Let's do it. He's like Jalen Hurts out there. He's ready. Playing a little bit hurt, but it's still Lane Johnson out there. He probably looked a little bit more like Lane Johnson.
Does that make you feel, Bracken? I can't decide how I would feel sitting there if I were you after this little speech Rich just gave.
You know, you watch like a romantic comedy and there's the guy who you know is intended to wind up with the girl, but she's just like running through a bunch of dudes that she's meeting up. And you watch it and you think, I could never wait for someone like that, knowing that I'm just the fifth option, even if it's supposed to be. And then in this moment, I realized he just doesn't know. He doesn't know that. No, in reality, he said, BK, I got to know, how's your running coming along? And I said, slow-mo. I said, I've run outside twice. I'm doing baby workouts on the incline trainer. He said, it sounds like you're ready for High Rocks doubles. I said, I will hold you back. He said, it'll be fine. We're doing this.
To defend Rich from the third-party point of view, Bracken's been very open about his inability to run on real surfaces. So that's why Bracken wasn't top of mind for this. It wasn't like, God, he sucks. It was Bracken's own.
Let's have Rich verify this.
Is this true?
That is definitely true. He's coming back. He's building himself up. Didn't know where he was going to be. And it's not like I'm going into this like ready to like needing to win, but now like that we're in this, we're going to go for that win for sure. Well, I'm not too concerned.
You found out the type of people you're surrounded with, right? Because you got everyone bailing on you. No, no, no. Then you got someone who's just out of the hospital, basically, who said, not only, yes, are we doing this, but what are we doing for team jerseys? It's just a different level of commitment you get from me than other people, where I'm in and we're going to look good doing it.
There was certainly some reluctance, though. It wasn't like, I'm in. It was like, I need you to know what's going on.
Yeah. Like I had basic rules that he had to accept. I went right away yesterday. We messaged. I said, all right, I'm going to do a sim. I went and set up a 75% sim in my basement. And I tested out what pace can I run at while being somewhat useful on obstacles. And I said, here's the deal, Rich. You need to know where we're at. If we run 6:15 to 6 minute pace, I can maybe do half of the work with you. If we drop under 6 to 5:50, I'm doing a third of the work. And if we go under 5:50, I might not finish. So those are my terms. Take them or leave them. You need to know what you're getting into.
Did you throw in the mandatory like floor rest break on the ski erg?
I haven't talked about strategy. Yet. It's on the table for sure.
Okay.
Jack,
might just run. He can probably win it. He can probably run mid 50s on open weights by himself. I might just run 8x1000
with anywhere from 2 to 4 minutes break.
Yeah.
My strategy would be go out like bats out of hell. Rich does 100% of all the stations until he feels like he's about to crack. You reserve as long as you can, and then you step in and take all the credit back. And when he's busted up on burpee BJs or something. So
we're not going to be doing that.
No,
that sounds like Bracken's dream.
I love that idea. Put the team on your back. All right.
No, the issue with that strategy, it's a solid strategy, is that if we go out hard, I just ran a 95% effort mile and ran 4:58. That is a little slower than Rich's 5K pace right now. So if I ran 40 seconds faster than mile or slower than mile pace, then Rich is probably at marathon pace. So our lines are going to cross real early. Real early. Running 4x1000 at 5:30 pace is already going to take me into the shadow realm.
But it's still like, it's like 2.5-3 minutes recovery between runs, right?
So much rest.
Jack, what's I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, for doubles, like what is a typical, what would you say like an elite time for the station work?
I know in like singles, Alex Roncevic, he was like 23:57 or just under 24 at European Championship. So I imagine subdividing that, you could with a couple of studs, maybe a minute. Minute and a half off
with lighter weight. Yeah. I mean,
it is lighter weight. You're right. Okay. So yeah, now you're talking, cause the record's 48. They probably ran 27.
They ran 27
and
30.
Yeah. 30. So yeah, you're looking at,
let's
like
pull
21.
Up Callie.
21.
Callie and I, let's pull up our doubles results.
Let's see. This is COVID bracket too.
That was day 11 of COVID, which I don't know how much. I was telling Rich, I think it's just going to balance out. I'll run a little better and I'll probably station a little worse since I've done no work on that. Who knows?
I think you should do that. I think
you
just
see that Alex and Tiago, they ran doubles this past weekend and they were a couple minutes off.
They ran so slow. Their aggregate 8K was like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you overwork on the stations because you can sprint and then you blow up.
They run 52 or something? What did I see?
Yeah, it's like several minutes slower than the 48 change record.
Yeah,
Tiago Frankfurt ran 28:30, and then in doubles ran 30 something.
Legit.
All right, so here's what Callie and I did.
You're not bitter still, are you, Rich?
Yeah, we got to keep Rich off this.
I've gone through the stages of grief. I was talking to my friend.
You had a whole live stream where you could get it up. Yeah,
I'm at acceptance. It's fine. I got a great partner. It's got my back, and we're gonna do the thing.
Who's gonna add up this math here? I vote
Jack. That's Jack.
Jack, do you have your time calculator?
I have my time calculator. It's not a time calculator, but I'll do it anyway. Yeah.
Skierg 334.
Okay.
Sled push 127.
127, man.
Wow.
Sled pull 145.
Wow. Okay.
And then I blew up. Burpee broad jump 143.
Did you do all of those?
That's nasty.
No, I probably did 70 or 80%.
Okay.
I intended to, and I was cooked.
Are you doing double leg up and double leg jump?
I was, but that was back when you got a forearm length ahead.
You still have that.
I thought you get half of a forearm now.
It's a forearm. They're just actually holding people to the standard. But before it was like a forearm and people put their hands down, like kind of dive forward a little
bit. Yeah, I was doing the fall forward. I was pushing the limits. She was talking to me during. I said, listen, you got to know your role. All right, lady.
See how fast I'm going?
So, you're allowed to put your hands like 6 inches in front of your feet. That's all they give you?
Yeah, I guess they would consider that.
It's very subjective. A foot?
Very.
It's hard.
So burpee broad jump 143, 1,000 meter row 402. We switched twice.
and like in a row.
Four, 402
with
row.
Transitions. With transitions. So probably
okay.
Transitions plus two switches on the row. Farmers carry 118. Sandbag lunge, Kraken 258. Wall balls 346.
Yep.
Rock zone. You ready for the fastest rock zone? And we had the fastest rock zone out of doubles. You ready for this?
425.
541.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And we worked. This was the longest. This was the longest rock zone in history.
That was a long rock zone. The runs were a little bit shorter.
Runs were a little short because we were running. Our runs were like 403, 406, 403, 4 flat, 402. Okay. We were thinking we're going to run about 410s.
Consistent.
So your total workout station time was 2033. When you add the 541 to it, you're at 2614.
20 minutes of work. That's great.
20 minutes, so 33 seconds of specific work. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can hit 20 minutes of work plus 30 minutes of run. And then whatever our rock zone is.
Probably 3.5, 4. Oh, you'll probably be like
4.
Yeah.
50, I think we can realistically break 55.
Yeah.
Because basically our roles are going to be switched. With Kelly, I started and finished every station. Rich will be doing that. So he'll do everything I did, but he'll be a little faster at all of it. And then I'll do everything Kelly did, and I'll hope to be as good as her at it.
Because that's the same weight, right? Like
same
we're
weight.
Using the mixed doubles. So like you guys pushed it in minute 27. We're going to be like 35 seconds, bro.
Just unbroken down, unbroken back, unbroken down. I'll do halfway back. You finish.
I'm going to pick the sled up. I'm gonna run with the sled.
If it's too light and you can't like slow your cadence, I'll sit on the sled to make you more comfortable.
That's true. That is something that we do have to account for.
So our run total was 3258. Our rock zone was 541. And then Jack says our work was 20 minutes.
Okay. So you think it's like, yeah. Usually I try to add the rock zone and the run. So it's like 37 and change.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do it.
We're gonna be great.
Question: do you guys hear jackhammering?
I'm not hammering.
Does Kirk have a concussion?
Are you not smell toast?
Yeah.
You're not hearing that for real?
No.
No, there's nothing on my end.
There's construction like 10 yards away from my house on the neighbor's house. They're knocking over, and there's hard jackhammering.
I just turned it away. Not getting it.
All right, I'm gonna keep unmuted then.
Yeah, great boom you got.
Maybe their transformer settled and they're fixing it.
So Rich,
yeah, could be.
So we say we should be able to run 55 or under.
I think that's fair. I mean, I'm not too worried about a goal here, but
well, yeah, now that we're there, we can't.
we're talking strategy.
So what are we gonna have to run, Jack, to win this thing?
We got Victor and Mark Botthorn. They ran a double someplace, probably in Texas.
Mark's definitely quick, and Victor's got experience. They'll probably be in that low to mid 50s again.
Could you pull up Dallas doubles? I think that's where they did doubles. And in case anyone is listening here at the 47-minute mark, we don't really have anything to talk about today. There's not much going on. Jack has a topic.
Dallas doubles.
I'm waiting to close this out, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, business.
They did not win in Dallas.
They didn't win.
Brandon Hughes and Lester Maxwell went 55-23, and Mark Botthorn and Victor Quesada went 55-50.
Okay. They'll be there.
We got to go 54. Or
got to go 54. Yeah.
30, 20, 4 minutes.
This is part of the legacy bracket. You need to be the first person to win a North American championship in mixed doubles. And in same gender doubles.
Well, Callie and Morgan are going.
So we need to. Well, who's going to go for? Does the men's race go before the women's race? Because we need to know who's going to be first.
Just go by cumulative time, and that'll be the difference.
I'm going to get them DQ'd.
So. Okay, we'll get them DQ'd. Okay.
Rich, why didn't you ask Jack?
Are you doing Austin, Jack? No,
I'm not. No. I've got that. That's the anniversary weekend, and I already have plans, so can't do that.
So why didn't you ask Jack?
Because I knew it was his anniversary.
I did beat Bracken.
You don't know Jack's anniversary is, Kurt?
My bad.
Yeah, come on, man. Yeah.
Jack's never lost Bracken to me at High Rocks.
I took a poop during High Rocks and I
You don't know that I didn't.
Well, I definitely used the proper receptacle. I don't know if you
didn't see in there.
You left the arena to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
To what level do you wipe in that situation? I've always wondered this. So I've been blessed with never having to go to the bathroom in a race ever. And you see people dip off in marathons into the portos and they're back out in like 20 seconds. And you're like, okay, what's it really look like in there? You took full time. You double checked.
My motto there, Kirk, was go to town till there's no more brown. That's what I did. So I even washed my hands. Made sure that.
That's a wiping motto.
You did not wash your hands.
I wash my hands. I'm not. Look, my farmer's carries and stuff was that. I'm not touching that after. I'm considering.
You washed your hands. I wouldn't have even sat on the toilet. I would have hovered, pushed, pulled him back up, and been out there.
If the urinal is the first thing I saw,
I had that
that's
much confidence
was
I was going to beat Bracken that I.
Yeah. Washed his hands. I genuinely watched.
They had the
happy birthday to make sure.
At least for 20 seconds.
Yeah.
No. So what I did is after I'm done, I left and I left the stall and then I put my hand underneath the auto toilet paper so it would be ready for me when I was done. I remember doing that and then washed. Smart. Yeah, like 10, 15 seconds washed him and then.
Siri, was anybody 2 minute hand washing timer?
Was anybody in there when you went in there?
There were two people in the bathroom. I remember that. They might have just thought I was like doing a warm up or something because I came rolling in like I was moving straight into the stall. But
if that's the case, it's not like a quiet endeavor. I imagine you get in there and everybody knows what's going on because of the dire of that situation. So I just fly on the wall would have been entertaining in that situation.
I think I have a real case to get you retroactively DQ'd. For leaving,
he went
the
off course
for it.
Where did he enter the course though? Did he come back where he exited? That's Spartan's rule, right?
We don't know. He was a lap down to me and suddenly a lap ahead. And
look at my lap, it's like a 7 minute lap. Pull that up. Was that
and
Chicago?
I cranked out like a 741 wall ball, so I'm having a hard time believing you snuck another lap in there.
With that type of prowess.
All right, what was that, 1920?
Was that Chicago or Miami? I forget. I think it was
Chicago. That was Miami. 2019 Miami, High Rocks Pro.
It was Miami?
Hunter went one flat.
This was the first American race, right?
I went 1:15:19, and Jack Bauer went 1:13:27. He pooped and still put a minute 50 on me.
That's impressive.
That's pretty impressive.
Are there any rules about like excrement on the course?
Yeah, do you have my run splits though?
I have my run splits. I went out at 3:18.
Conservative.
I think we all.
Because I was pretty sure I could run 3:20 to 3:25 all day. Because I had in my sim. So I went out in 3:18.
I think the best part of the results. Best part of the results, you have Professor Isaiah Vidal in second, Dr. Cole Schwartz in sixth. Dr. Dylan Moralia in ninth and Dr. Bracken Crocker in 11th. A lot of specializers.
I like that you had the opportunity to choose your dream title, anything, and he went with professor over doctor. Like he limited his station in life.
Bracken, what was your slowest K in that race? So if your fastest you went out in 3:18, what was your
slowest? He had a 4:47 at the end.
I went 3:18, 3:35, 3:58, 3:57, 4:09, 4:04, 4:14, 4:47.
Held on. Okay. There for a little bit.
I went
4:47. What pace is that?
That's got to be
somebody calculate
4 minute, eight minute pace.
Eight something. Yeah.
No, and
I had a blister forming.
Yeah, for sure. Those are painful.
In all fairness, Hunter McIntyre, he dropped like 15 seconds on his last lap, so might have been a long one.
All right, sled push, Jack, 3:35 for me. Whoa. Sled pull, 6:46.
Is that when things started?
6:28. I did 6:28 there.
I was there so long. That's 6 minutes of blowing out your forearms.
I'm pretty sure Corinna might have been on one of those for like 14 minutes. And I remember she like
took her shoes off. That was really bad one time.
It was rough.
Sandbag lunges, 551.
Oh my God. That's just a suffer fest. Usually like 3 minutes.
Wall balls, 647. I was cramping on every lunge on the way back down towards the finish. I had micro tears up and down my hammies and groin, and they'd seize on every lunge.
Rockin', I remember seeing you, and because you did the turnout, and you looked like a baby deer, just like looking for its mom, like save me. There's some animal.
There's a look in people's eyes when they're in survival mode like that, yeah, where it's glazed over, and you look like nobody's home yet. You know they're also like,
yeah,
more alive than they've ever been.
I was in pretty minimal racing flats, and I had just done 5 minutes and 51 minutes, 5 minutes and 51 seconds of walking weighted lunges. And I came out of there with my legs so shaky, and the flats were just like slap, slap, slap into the ground. I could not make my legs hit the ground correctly. And I was running 447 per thousand pace. I was so cracked.
That was like, yeah, you probably shouldn't have kept going. Something's wrong with this guy.
One last thing. When I got to 81 on wall balls, from there on out, I did reps of one or sets of one. And in some of them, I did one. I know I've told this, but I did one. I set it down and I had to turn and lean on the fence so I didn't black out. And I looked up and Faye was looking at me. She said, just try to finish. I'm doing sets of one and then taking a 15 second break to not pass out like this. That ship coming, has sailed.
And that's coming from the girl who used the Home Depot bucket to get her depth also. So you were having a bad day.
Yeah, I saw Matt Frazier at the start line. He was talking to Hunter and he's like, who's gonna win today? In the back of my mind, I thought, you're gonna learn my name today, Matt. I was fairly confident I was gonna win and set the world record.
You're only 20 minutes off.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Matt Frazier was gonna learn.
Hilarious.
It was like the most humble pie you could possibly eat at a competition, going from thinking I'm gonna win to finishing 17 minutes behind the leader.
That's how all of us, I'm sure Rich felt the same way when I showed up to my first like US National Series race. I'm like, just wait about 90 minutes. You're going to know who I am. And then I finished 20 minutes behind Atkins. Did you have that feeling, Rich, when you showed up? I did.
Not first US National, but first like Spartan race ever. Yeah. And I was like, these dudes are toast. Yeah, I finished like 21st in like a regional race.
All right, Jack, let's talk about these run splits.
We're talking. I'll just do the one before and then the one after. So 404, 559. 410. So if we do that simple math right there, that's about a minute 49 spent in the bathroom facilities. I think that justifies that I wipe my hands, as I said, because I know I did.
Wipe with your hands? Then you should definitely
wash
the hands.
Here's the worst part. I went 447.
Wrong word. Right there.
I ran 447 redlining. You ran 1,000 with 100 meters to and from the bathroom, a poop, and a full wipe and hand wash, and 5:59. That's only a minute 12. A minute 12 difference to run an extra 200 meters, go to the bathroom, wipe, and wash your hands.
I'm not buying it was clean, by the way. I'm not buying it. No, not it
100%
chance.
Was. Trust me, Kirk.
Do you wax or something?
Here's what I think.
Wax?
He consumes...
He has so much sunscreen in his life that some of it gets into internal. And that's just like shoots out like a kid through a water tube. Boom, a water slide right out
just
into the
slides
toilet.
Right out nice and clean.
Yeah, it's coated in white from all the sunscreen a bit, and it's just clean.
It's like bird poop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think happens. Because there's no way you're only a minute 12 slower than me on that K. I can't abide by that.
You died though. Like,
so I mean, I did ask you fourth. The evidence. I don't believe you're going to do this at our doubles attempt. But this is evidence as to potentially. You know,
listen, I have bust potential.
No way. Not in doubles. Not in doubles. You know.
Jack, you had a 133 farmer's carry that day.
I have probably the second or third fastest on American. So I did a 120 once.
It's going to be, that's the hybrid race, the Bauer. Yeah. When we have our five different traveling races, it's going to be 400 meter run.
Yeah.
100 farmers, meter farmers carry, 400 meter run.
Not to
farmers carry.
Not to detract, but we need to give somebody a shout out here since we're talking about our own race. Don't we?
Yeah. I literally have the post pulled up.
That's what you got, Jack?
Yeah, Jack, I
have her pulled up right now.
You spent 2.5 minutes less on the walking lunges than I did.
Believable. Look with how you looked that day. I remember it.
Oh my goodness.
When you start pushing into five high, five mid, you're not having fun. You're stopping. You're like really not in a good mental place. If you're like,
but we were all so confident that we were just all gonna go in there and run like a 55 because Lucas and whatever, you know, we didn't believe that that was actually a good time because we watched some YouTube videos. Everyone thought that they were gonna.
I went 56 in training.
I did like a 59 or a 60 simulation, and I'm like, they're screwed. I'm gonna set this record. I'm gonna get $10,000. Didn't happen.
I went 56 two times, I believe, in training. Came out, spent 6.5 minutes on the sled pole, and thought, oh, I might not crack 80.
It's a tough spot too. The third station to really be underwater and negative self-talk at that point too.
And there was a $5,000 bonus for anyone who broke the world record.
What was it at the time? Was it just under 60, like 59 and change?
59 something. I thought,
yeah.
I posted online just on someone's comment that I said 5 or 6 guys will all break the world record.
Yep.
I was starting to earmark what I was going to do with the bonus money.
I've been there before for sure.
Like, I thought if I get the win and the record, if I have 10 grand there, I'm just going to fly Lisa down first class to join me and we're going to stay in Miami for a week. Like, it's going to be such a baller power move. Oh,
what could have been?
Is there prize money for doubles coming up?
We don't think so. No.
So you can't have your moment is what I'm getting at. You can't have your
redemption.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just bring
it. I mean, it's like you on your podium. You're not doing it for the money.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. But Bracken does it for the money. We all know that.
Yeah. Yeah. The fame, the glory.
Here we are. Yeah. Worked out.
I got a schedule here for Chicago, Rich.
Oh, nice.
Callie just sent it.
She listening? What is it?
8 a.m. First race of the day, High Rocks doubles men.
Man.
That's the best way to be. First race of the day.
You could do it. You could be the first.
Second last race of the day, 4:05, High Rocks doubles women.
They're not till 4. What time is the lead? Not till like 6?
It goes... Doubles men, mixed doubles, go ruck men.
This go ruck thing is ridiculous.
Go ruck men doubles, then high rocks men, then there's an hour and a half break, and then elite men, elite women, then go ruck women doubles, then doubles women, then mixed team relay.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So they're putting that in the rhythm.
4:50 is the final start time. Subject to change. So we're crack of dawn. We get to wake up, do our pre-race routine, and go. That's the way to have a race. You don't want to wait till 4:50 in the afternoon.
You know what messes with me with afternoon races? I don't know about you, but we're pretty like regimented, scheduled humans in the endurance world. It's like you wake up, you have your breakfast, your coffee hits peak caffeinated levels right when it's time to go hit what matters. And when you have an afternoon race, when you're a morning worker outer, I don't know what to do with the caffeine intake situation. How do you handle that? Because your body's so used to performing on it. It always throws me off when I race in the evening or afternoon. Do I not have none until then? Or do I have a second dose? Do I just do my morning thing? The afternoon's mess with people. Yours is just meals. That's all you worry about?
Yeah. How do you time your meal? And then also, in a normal day, you don't think about your activity level. But with a race in the evening, it's constant. Should I be off my feet right now?
Mm-hmm.
Am I standing around too much? Should I leave the venue? Man, I love night races. But give me a morning routine 11 out of 10 times.
I only worry about caffeine intake and how it affects my performance. That's the only thing on my mind.
I still take caffeine if it's an afternoon race in the morning, just so I don't get like headaches.
Yeah.
You know, withdrawal, like, so I actually don't feel like shit going forward. And then I just like, maybe I'll take a little bit more. Or I just like, don't even worry about it.
Like, yeah.
I did a night race, night OCR. It started at 10 p.m. two summers ago. And I hadn't raced in a while. I was coming off of a surgery of obviously. Yeah.
One of them.
Yeah. And I was getting tired. I put the kids down for sleep at 8:30 and started to doze a little bit, laying down with them, trying to get them to sleep. I'm like, this is not good. I have to drive an hour to this race. I almost fell asleep and I've got a race. So I took a bunch of
nervous. Sounds like
I got nervous because what I did then is I had 200 milligrams of caffeine then right after to perk me up for the hour drive and then quick warm up and race. And I got done with that race, drove home and was just like this. Had a bunch of caffeine at 9 p.m. Just at 2, I just gave up and watched a movie.
I think the best setup is have your morning coffee like Rich described. And then if it's 3 p.m. or later, that's when you hit that pre-workout. I much prefer coffee over my Enduro Elite. Coffee hits me better than as well as anything. But the one exception is an afternoon workout that matters. Then I'll put down the Enduro Elite. I don't know how you guys deal with it. But.
Take a little shot. It's like a 5-hour energy situation. Or something.
That'll work. Yeah.
I'm a little bit less voluminous.
Yeah.
I don't drink coffee. So caffeine.
Maybe you should.
Are you sensitive to it or why?
That's why I don't drink coffee. Well, I hate the taste, but I used to do some of the, what are those? The Cliff Blocks and stuff that have the caffeine, and those just never, caffeine just doesn't work well for my system, or I'll have a Miami incident.
Are you more sensitive to the sun or to caffeine?
The sun.
What if you had caffeinated sunscreen that you absorb subcutaneously?
That right there might that be the best be thing ever or the worst idea. Thing ever. Yeah.
Caffeine's a legit Except performance enhancer.
Yeah. I'm a night person, so I'm not really wearing that sunscreen at night. So maybe it wouldn't be as useful as I think.
You don't wake up until 10. So I mean, it's past coffee time already.
10.
So no.
PM.
I feel bad.
I have 9 o'clock meetings a lot, and I usually set my alarm for about 8:50. That's all good.
Wipe the sleep out of your eye. Get there.
No.
I feel bad for people who don't drink coffee. I really do. It is the best. The first 5 minutes, 10 minutes of that of your, it's the best part of my day. Every day, I'm guaranteed to have a moment in which my body enlivens and I purely am in bliss. And it is those. And Rich, I know you agree because you're. You're an espresso cup. It is the best part of my day. And it's a shame people like you can't experience it. It's really a shame.
I feel bad for you.
I don't like the taste. And honestly, if you need help getting up, your body's just telling you you're tired. So why are you doing it? You're just faking it.
Not if you're reliant on a stimulant.
But that's the thing. It's you're reliant on it.
Well, you know, you could wonderful. Still drink coffee and still
I hate the taste. I don't like coffee, ice cream.
It's not about the taste. It's I know you don't drink alcohol either, but alcohol objectively tastes terrible. You give anybody that for the first time, I'd be you drink this poison? I'd be it's not about the taste. It's about what the poison does in my bloodstream and gets in my head. And it's really nice. Same with caffeine. You end up liking the taste because you know what's coming. You know it's just a vehicle. It's just a vehicle to get you where you want to go. It's like an addiction.
You're talking about best part of your day. You should have seen me getting the call from Rich. You ever see those NFL draft videos where someone gets the call and they weren't sure if they're going to get drafted or not, and their whole family's there and their pastor's there and everyone's crying and singing? That was the Crocker household yesterday.
You got the Brock. It was the Brock Purdy call.
Yeah, he's you are Mr. Irrelevant.
Yes.
Last pick.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Lisa!
Did it cross your mind? Were you I would do this doubles. Let's do this before that.
You would, if you could see what's all over my walls,
I
had a list of everyone you could possibly choose. I'm like, I know Ryland said no. I think Kirk's bad's back. And I got in his ear about it. It's going to hurt him. Okay. Who else is ahead of me? Jarrett? Maybe. Yeah. Who else? Oh man. I'm just going crazy.
You're up. You're ready.
I totally bailed. I bailed on Callie. I said, I can't guarantee you I'm going to be ready, and I don't want you to get stuck holding the bill here. So go get a partner and get ready. So I totally, totally written that race off.
But now you're ready.
I get ready real quick.
Jack, I'm going to bring Heather White.
Let's move transition.
So we had a relevant thing happen recently. Over the weekend, we had a brand new world record in a hybrid fitness event. Heather White, she took on our challenge, our dream hybrid race that we set up the other day. We were slightly off in the times. Do you guys remember what we were saying? The winning
so we're time. Trying to make it we're trying to make it 20 something.
Yeah. She was like 32 and change.
And she's good. She's a 69 minute.
Heather, yeah, she's qualified for two events in DECA World Championship. So yeah, one we're not talking about a slouch of an athlete.
She's very good.
Did she have a nice logistic setup there? Did it appear?
Yes.
Seemed okay.
Can we patch her in? Do we have her in the green room?
Let's bring in Heather.
I'd love to talk to her.
I want to know when it got bad.
That was Rich's fifth pick.
I want to know how these ground to overheads worked.
She said that was hard. Saul,
do you want me to read her response?
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, hey, congrats on the new record. What was the hardest station? What parts did you change? Blah, blah. She's like, honestly, I thought it was great and can't think of anything I would change. There was no set weight for the sleds, but I did what was hard but doable. Clean and jerk was tough because I don't do a lot of bar work. The bike was miserable as always. Don't wear running shoes with the rope climbs. They'll get torn up. Still very much a cardio workout. Not sure the strength parts were heavy enough to slow down the cardio-based athlete compared to a strength athlete. Maybe the sandbag front carry, but 100 pounds over the shoulder times 15 would have made a difference. Overall, it was a great workout. Just need to do or need to see some other times to compare that to.
And that's without her seeing what, like, she said endurance based, like, she's endurance based. Like, but a runner, I think it would slow down a runner because of the bike and the road
finish. They wouldn't finish the overhead.
No way.
Yeah, I mean, some.
What were we for 95 pounds? What were we?
95 for us. Yeah. 135 for
Dave. 135, 95.
195 for women, yeah.
Yeah.
If I get blown out enough, I'm not finishing 135.
15 of them? I mean, you could just like you did those last 19.
That's going to be a lunges station.
Yeah, that's another 651 for me.
Yeah.
15 you could do. You'd be fine. I mean, I think everyone collectively overhead mobility is an issue.
Yeah.
So I think that like the pressing finish and hers actually looked pretty good. Like in the video parts, it looked like she could like do them. She was doing singles. Strong.
I can't overhead squat with the bar.
It takes work. I would need to do it like every day.
My shoulder mobility is awful.
It ends up being like wrist a lot of times too.
And wrist, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like squat. That's the whole overhead squat. That'd be brutal.
Nasty. Yep. But yeah, she seemed to be a big fan overall. We were a little off on the duration, but I would be curious, like you said, Rich, see a strength athlete go in there just to see, like, did taking away those runs and replacing them with machine work make a difference? Because yes, of course, it's a 30-minute race. It's going to be a cardio event at the end of the day, but all hybrid fitness, realistically, in our domain, we're looking at 11 plus minutes. You're not that still has a severe cardio element to it.
It's still an endurance event. Yeah. Like that's why, like, I think just the word she used was wrong, where it's like, there's runner forward hybrid athletes. Like I'm one of them. Like running is the strongest part that I have. And the rest I can just kind of do well enough, where like someone like Colin Stiefert, I think, who's going to be in that elite 15, he is more strength based on that side, but can do like really row. He like rows 140, skis 140 in high rocks. And like, I'm sure he could crank on the bike too. Like that's where I think it would level the field a little bit. Not necessarily like we're all endurance athletes. It's like more the runners. I think that's the part that people have it's a harder pill to swallow for some people because people can be so far ahead in running than others.
What were you preparing for Chicago to be able to ski and row at?
Like 149, 148.
Or both?
Ski. Yeah. Ski. It's a conservative ski. Like it's working, but it's like conservative, but you kind of have to be that. I have to be that way early. And then the row, it's like, that's working for the row at that point. Or he'll, 140. He can crank. He's not a great runner yet, but like, that's what Hunter would do. Hunter would do 140 on the ski and row. They end up equaling. I found more often than not, what you ski is end up kind of what you have to run, unless you blow the ski out and kill yourself.
It's interesting because you have to chill on the ski and then you're trashed by the row. And
yeah,
it ends up. I feel like if I was doing a time trial, I'd be like 5 to 10 seconds slower per 500 on the ski than the row.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's got to be because you're fresh early.
So, Chester, anyone else wants to throw down? Do it.
Derek York. he was in the comments. He said he wants to give it a shot now. So we'll see how he does. Definitely leans more on the strength side as well, or on the run side than the strength side as well. But we know he has like a CrossFit background, so he's at least familiar enough with, you know, ground to overhead, that style. So we'll see how he does.
Where did Derek Urich comment this?
It's on Heather White's. Let me pull it up again. But
oh, I was just curious because we have zero people watching our live right now. So I was like, where is this coming from? No. We're at zero. I can see that.
We're on the not live today.
Oh, we aren't.
It says that just means recording.
It says it's recording. It's unlisted. If you have the link, which nobody does, it's super secret conversation we're having here.
Got it.
Well, so Derek or Heather, she wrote in response to Derek, they didn't state a sled weight. So I did the Hyrox sled push weight. I thought we did list it, but should we declare something? Just, you know.
Well, I mean, Heather had a good point with the Hyrox push weight on not that carpet. Mm-hmm. It ended up being like pretty, that needs to be tested, I think. I was thinking probably somewhere in between the two, maybe a little bit lighter than the push. And a little bit heavier than what the pull weight is, but she seemed to have handled it pretty well.
Okay. Yeah, it was a good judgment call.
So we had some people write in on Patreon. We post questions, something we can talk about. I have a would you rather for you guys. I don't know if it's any good. Are you guys any good at would you rathers?
Let's find out.
I'll debate it.
I didn't know that was a skill.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like anything. It comes with practice. Having practice. It's just like the Tower of Hanoi. Jack, right? You practice it a little bit, you get better at it, right?
Why are you talking about the Tower of Hanoi? I'm going to Hanoi in like 3 weeks.
Have you ever played that game?
We're just joking about that.
Well, nonetheless, that's just a weird place to bring up. Coincidental. Yeah.
It's a game, not like a place.
Hanoi's a city in Vietnam.
Yeah, I don't know that.
When are you going on that trip?
Okay, we leave March 3rd. Okay, move on. Never mind.
Would you rather have one meal a day for the rest of your life that's 700 calories of just gels, running gels, or eat Rogue chips with every meal?
Easy answer. That's a dumb question. Rogue chips every meal. I love those things.
Really? I wouldn't go that way. I don't think.
For every meal or with every meal?
With every meal.
And you are going to be largely malnourished with 700 calories a day. You'll be dead in a few weeks.
No, you just have to have 700 calories of gels in one sitting once per day.
Once per day. Like your lunch is seven goobs.
Oh, you can.
It has to be one of your standard meals, or can it just be your pre-workout?
I think you have to sit at the table. And like there needs to be like
I'm okay with that. But does it replace one, or can it be added in?
You think you would eat seven gels before a pre-work, before you work out?
I think I'd dump it in some water, shake it up, and chug it and get...
Do you remember in one of our conversations, Bracken, the gummy bear approach John Albin takes? Do you remember this part of our interview with him?
No.
John Albin, to keep his glucose up.
I checked out for a while on that one.
Just he'll take a handful of like gummy bears hour, every hour, the whole day before a race. I'll have 10, 15 gummy bears every 60 minutes. I keep everything topped off the entire day. That's part of his strategy going into endurance events.
He's
a gummy bear approach.
I'm not
Haribo.
He's pre-diabetic.
Oh my God, he's insane if those are sugar-free.
And I'm not.
They're not sugar-free.
Why would they be sugar-free?
read the reviews.
That's not Haribo. Haribo's
sugar-free. Sugar-free race gels.
there's a market for you.
No, if you want a good laugh, Google search sugar-free like Haribo gummy bears.
I've seen it. It's hilarious. But anyways,
none of the energy.
this whole gel 700 calories a day thing could really up your cellular energy.
I know Albin is I don't know if this is something that is still like a common maybe it's a misconception amongst British people, but can't be good for your teeth eating all that freaking gummy bears. I feel like it's just a cavity. Maybe they're fine with it.
I don't think it's a daily thing. I think it's like a one set before he races. So it's all right.
When I first started OCR, I could not eat pre-race meals. What I got better at with pre-race jitters and nerves in college got way worse when money was on the line. Hmm. And I could not even get a bite down before my first world championship, which was my second race. And that set the tone for my body thought, this is what we do in OCR. We vomit if you try to eat. It's not going to happen. So I bought a magic bullet so I could travel to races and blend things up because I found I could drink, but I couldn't chew. It was the act of chewing that caused me to like. So I blended anything and everything. I tested so many things up. I was blending up power bars, fruit snacks, gummy bears, a little bit of like anything I thought would give me what I wanted before a race. I'd blend it up and add different liquids to see what I could handle.
You got to plug that thing in. Did you have to go find a plug somewhere?
Well, I was in a hotel.
Oh, no, what'd you land on? What was the landed upon formula?
I stopped doing that. I eventually learned how to eat like an adult.
Stop being a baby.
You must have been nervous. That is like next level butterflies to the point where like you can't function. If you can't eat, you're as far gone on the nervous scale as you could be.
We were down in Texas, that 2011 championship, sitting in the car as it rained, and it's like 40 degrees. So I'm just sitting in the driver's seat, Lisa's in the passenger, 3 hours before the race, and I have these granola bites, and I kept going like this. And eventually I just gave up. I couldn't eat. And Lisa was watching me like, it was the worst pre-race experience.
Nerves are wild. I was looking at my heart rate monitor at the start line right before the Aruz, and it's all connected, ready to go. And I was standing there. Granted, I'd done a warm-up, but they make you stand there for 5+ minutes. Casual 113, just chilling.
Just standing there.
Like, I'm like, oh, those, I forget about that. 113, doing nothing.
I raced 2 years of middle school, 4 years of high school, 4 years of college. All right. I'm sitting at 12 years of racing. And my first real big OCR race, I can't eat a bite without gagging. Like, what is, I understand like everyone's pre-race nerves. It was bad. I couldn't sleep before races. I'd wake up in sweats all night long. It was so bad. If I hadn't got over that, I would have just stopped racing.
You wouldn't be 15th on the all-time OCR list.
I wouldn't be 15th on your guys to call for a race list.
Think about like what Cody Mode is. He described it. You know, he would maybe not sleep a minute. I mean, a 2-time world champ the night before a race. And he would say,
that's wild.
And Killian went through it. He said, legit, I'd be up at 2 a.m. unable to sleep. And my heart rate actually is in the 130s sitting there. Like the anxiety, the adrenaline pump. And then when you go to race and you have to push, your adrenals are already fried because they've been keeping you revved up all night. Like, it's a miserable thing.
And Cody's got worse as he got to the later stage. He won world championships and the next year couldn't function.
He was doing like
can't like win a championship.
He said 150 to 170 he'd wake up at night.
What? Yeah, he's like doing tempo runs in his sleep.
It's an adrenal.
He was doing like threshold runs at night.
He also had a thyroid problem and he had other things internally going on. But yeah, I mean, how do you function off that?
It's mostly an adrenal. That's an adrenal response though, not thyroid, but nonetheless.
Yeah, saying internally, who knows?
He has some metabolic.
He might have had adrenal as well, but yeah. And that was at 40. Like he raced college, 4-time college D1 cross country champ. Like he was as legit of a runner as you're going to find. And then at 39 and 40 developed crippling race anxiety. He'd always dealt with some anxiety before, but it got worse at 40. Like, how do you plan for that? It's crazy.
So what are we doing about the gels versus chicken chips?
If there's one, like you have to eat a bag of Gone Rogue, or you like have to have a chip. Even if it was one bag of Gone Rogue before every meal or with
for breakfast,
meal, easy, done. How?
Because it's every meal for the rest of my life.
Your gut is going to be more messed up from those gels.
Just once a day. I can force that down once a day.
But think what it's going to do to you.
700 calories of gels a day? It's going to wreck you.
It's like telling you.
Only like 4 gels.
It's usually it's like 7. Is that like 100 calories, 110?
I'm thinking 150.
Spring energy, that is like a meal. It's like, it's 300 calories, but 200 calories of it are fat. Those I could do. That's like eating a meal.
They have fat in those?
A lot of those. Different versions. Stuff. Yeah, it's like a real meal in a packet.
I'd make a smoothie out of that. Once a day, chug it down. Boom. Rather than have, even if it was something, if you said you had to have a slice of pizza with every meal for the rest of your life, I wouldn't choose that option.
It might be good.
I don't think the question was make it a smoothie. I thought it was just eat the gels.
I'd imagine you could like put them in a bowl.
I think eventually
could I put it in my oatmeal in the morning,
stressed, like get some chocolate gels.
Nope, you can't mix it. If you're going to put it in the blender, you just blend them and gel together.
You know what? I'm going to let him mix it with whatever he wants. But once it's mixed, he has to finish it.
Yeah, well, duh, it's the rules.
If you I mean, you can't just grab seven new ones and have it. Like, if you mix something, like in oatmeal or something, and it's horrendous, you still have to eat it.
Yeah, so what meal of the day? That's your breakfast, and you whatever you want every day?
It'd probably breakfast. Be my, yeah.
No, I'd go with, as much as I don't like them, I'd probably go with the Rogue Chips. I just couldn't do that much gel. My stomach wouldn't be able to handle it.
Only one time. 700 calories?
My vote's Rogue Chips. Jack's vote, Rogue Chips. What's yours, Rich?
Yeah. What is the... Jack, could you divide 700 by 4 real quick?
175.
Yeah, 175 grams of carbs. It's not
according to my
much.
Time calculator. Yeah.
I think I'm going gels here. I don't want to eat Rogue Chips for breakfast.
Yeah, man. Bring on them diabetes.
You guys have never had the Rogue Turkey Bites. So that's the, one of the best things out there, but they didn't say we could have the turkey bites. You'd all pick those.
Well, all right. Here,
you can have whatever flavor you want.
Like, what are you eating? What do you typically eat for breakfast? Like, we're not changing. What do you standard eat for breakfast? And then how would each pair go with that? Because I eat chocolate oatmeal almost every single day. I pour chocolate milk with my oatmeal. Chips. That's my base. And then do that. That wouldn't really go too well with the Rogue Chip. The
sweet and savory. Get some of the bacon ones, crumble it up, put it on there.
There you go. People like that.
It'd be different if I had to have consume Rogue Chips or consume an entire bag. If it was one chip, yeah, give me that.
No, it's too easy.
He said Rogue Chips. That is that two single
it's
slices?
The thing. Or it's that little bag that they hand you after the race.
Okay.
Yeah, give me my gels. I'm mainline.
I'm going gels too.
Long term, you guys are going to regret your decision.
Yep.
We'll see. We're going to find
Kirk out. Kirk and I are on the correct side of the room right here.
You guys are going to regret your decision on day three in a bit. God.
I deal with my decision for 60 seconds every day.
There's a lot of chewing involved with the chips. That is
a lot of chewing involved. It's going
to but I make a lot of like stir fry. That would go nice in there. You sometimes go to restaurants, so sprinkle in like some
you guys
gonna
be
chips.
Is that, making that. Dips. You're going to like be, you know, like how Kirk got real into bitters. He's going to be making dips for his chips all the time now.
Pre-race, you have to have a bag of chips each time.
You don't have to pre-race.
Every meal.
Every meal.
You said you don't eat before your race.
That's true.
I didn't.
I'm going to load the night before.
Yeah, you can do that.
Every time you're sick, you still got to get that bag down.
Yeah, or get all those sweets. I'm still going with the chips, even though I don't like them.
This is an okay.
Who asked this? This is a good question.
I asked it.
For some reason cool to hate on Gone Rogue. Like, you're in the cool club if you can throw a jab in there. And I think you're all just insecure idiots. I think they're a good product.
I ride with them. I like them. But you can't think they're going to be Pringles.
They sent the sample pack to me back in the day, and I think two of the five or whatever it was I liked.
Buffalo is legit.
I remember.
I think they're a good product for people who have a hard time getting in protein. Maybe not necessarily for athletes, but for somebody that's like, oh, I have this compulsion to eat chips with my meals. It's like, all right, just replace them with this. You'll get some protein in.
And you'll stop liking chips.
And you'll stop eating that, yeah.
So like if you have trouble smoking, just wrap it in a waterlogged Gone Rogue chip, and then you're not going to want to smoke anymore.
You'll still understand how stupid it is. All right. Nice job, me. Yeah, someone said, would you rather. But all right.
Okay. Was that your question? Was that your would you rather? You made that up?
I made that up.
Wow.
All right, I've got a good would you rather then.
Okay.
Would you rather be the best in the world at 24-hour and longer races, but that's all you get to do, or 10th place at the race of your choice? So you have to dedicate your life to 24-hour and longer, or you can choose what like Olympic mile, your 10th place or whatever, but which one would you rather be?
You have to do the training to be good at these 24 hours.
Yeah, training for it. It's the only event to race.
Amazing at it.
Yep.
You have to train that way. That sucks.
Yep.
Well, you said at the event you like best. Does that mean it can change? Because like through the years, DECA didn't exist.
Yeah, whatever you try, you'll be 10th in the world at.
Guaranteed. It could be higher or...
No. You'll never be higher than 10th. But you can do whatever you want endurance-wise, racing.
Think about what it takes to be its ultras. A 24-hour plus champ is it has to be a consumed endeavor. It infiltrates all of your life in every regard. And if you want to train for something like the mile, like yes, but my investment's going to be a quarter time wise of what yours is.
But so you could be a professional if you're the best in the world. You could be that could sustain how you live.
That's true.
So I think I can wrap my head around it. I don't like it.
Look at the overall impact on life, like Kirk was alluding to. How beat up are you after a 24-hour? Like, that's going to carry over to your life for like weeks afterwards.
And probably worse than eating gels once a day.
We're not talking about that anymore.
20 to 50 grand per race you win.
They pay out that much?
There's precedent for it. World's toughest alone.
They made like 10,000 bucks.
I'm going 10th place in my choosing. Official answer.
Same.
Because you have better quality. Like, you get to do what you want as your feelings change. And I don't know about you guys. Like, I like the process just as much as racing half the time. And I don't know. I just wouldn't enjoy that super ultra endurance stuff for the rest of my life.
I think I could wrap my head around it. I think I could do it. And not necessarily just to be like, oh, I won, but just to be sustained, to be full-time able to train. I like that idea.
I'm going to piggyback Bracken's then with a question. Well, I'll ask one. How about that? So, Jack, you better start thinking.
Jack,
I've got my question. Yeah.
Would you rather
Excel be numbers
guaranteed a world championship in the event of your choice? Let's say OCR realm. Let's just keep OCR. Whatever OCR event of your choice.
Many championships to choose.
Knowing that you will never, in your hard pursuits, take a top five or a top 10 ever again. Or would you rather never win, but consistently, let's say three minimum, you're going to podium or top fives at a world championship, but you'll never have that win.
Which in the same event? In the same event? Or are we going like,
I don't care.
Kent, where he's got fifth at Spartan, but first at Deca. Would, like,
how much does that one world championship mean Deca to you?
Strong.
So you get one shot in your chamber, right, and it's going to hit, but you'll never hit anything else.
Well, you'll never crack a podium again at a world championship. You're going to get one, and it's never going. You know it will never happen again.
Give me that title.
You know it's not going to happen again.
But you could take 6 second places. All the rest is the possibilities are endless if you don't win that one.
One title.
But you will be irrelevant, basically, moving forward.
If you get one, you're not outside of the top, would you say five or 10?
Let's say five.
So you're getting 1, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6 like that?
Sure. Yeah.
That's title.
Yeah, give me that.
People remember that.
I'll retire after that title. I don't care.
So you're taking the title?
Title.
When it comes to our yearly discussion.
Or you're guaranteed second or third for the next 3 to 5 years. Let's make it that way.
But you could in the other one. You're just not guaranteed.
You know you won't?
You know you won't. You're never going to be top. You're either going to win, never be top five again, or you're going to take second or third.
Knowing you won't.
Guaranteed for 3 to 5 years. Knowing it's an impossible.
But you still have to put in the work and stuff.
Of course.
And see it out.
You're still going to go like you think you can win, and you're going to lay an egg.
Taking that win.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's dumb.
Give me a second. So you have the same 5 to 10 year career, but one of them has this amazing single result.
Yep.
You still have to complete the whole career. The rest of them are duds relative.
And yeah, the other one, you finish 5th to 10th the rest of the time.
Second or third every year, give it to me.
For 2 to 3 to 5 years. You take that one?
Yeah.
I didn't know that you had to stick it out, and that's more appealing, despite the world title, just because of the frustration that
we're looking at that. A 5-year span. Let's look at a 5-year span. That. Maybe you'll get it back in year 6 or 7, but you got to go through 5 years of the description.
Yep. Give me that.
So you take the Ryan Atkins route.
Every time.
And then in year 6, you get your win.
If that's the
case. Or even retire. Atkins without his win is still arguably the best of all time.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. God, but imagine having Atkins to go through the... Yeah, if you win, going through the doldrums of like 4 years later.
I don't know. I would just hate to be like, why can't I win the big one? Why can't tell you I what, do it?
I would do that if I could pick that which year I win. Be the last year.
No, that's the beginning of this whole thing.
Yeah, then no. Nope.
I'm taking the win.
I'm going the second or third.
Second or third every year.
Nah. That win will be big. You'll be a part of history, though. Yeah,
and unforgotten.
Everybody, well, think you
would call it a fluke. Right, I'll call it a fluke.
All your third places. Who got third place in 2016? Jack, do you? Spartan Worlds.
John Elbin.
In what?
Elbin. Atkins was second, killing of course.
Yeah, that was the year that Atkins got
Obi-Wan.
Fourth.
16.
16?
Hobie 16, Cody 17. So it was, but Atkins got fourth.
When did Killian
second year at Tahoe?
Killian was 15?
Killian only has first and thirds, so Albin got second that year. So it was
your point is still being made, Rich, by us waffling over this. I understand.
Who got third?
Yeah.
We don't know.
But you do know that Atkins was top four every single year, even if you don't remember which
place.
And
then Alyssa Holly, I think, or Faye. Yeah.
See, you don't even know. Who would know if you don't?
It was Faye. That was the perfect year with Faye, yeah.
Would it change if I said third to fifth? So you either get the win or you're never going to be set. You're going to be third to fifth. No, okay, fourth or fifth. Even would that change it? Like now second and third's off the table guaranteed. Would that change the answer?
Taking that win.
Well, I know you are.
That doesn't change my answer.
For me, if it was like fourth or fifth every year, like guaranteed, I might change. It just would take that little shift.
You still have the win. That's tough. I'm just trying to think of like a comparative
Olympic. No, like you're never going to win, but you're going to take like fourth or fifth like 5 years in a row.
Brutally close.
Yeah, but never.
But not that close.
It's weird because our sport. Yeah. Our sport of championships, I feel like we mentioned top fives a lot. Other sports, it's only on the podium.
Yeah.
So, like, true. Top five does matter, but not as – I don't know. That's a tough one.
Who got fifth in 2016?
Ryan Kent.
Exactly.
No. His
Hunter was sixth.
No, it was probably Hunter.
2018 was Kent was sixth or fifth.
See.
Hunter, that's my guess.
Take that W.
All right, so here's the combination of these last two.
Rose.
Would you rather? Okay, so you can only
wait, I didn't get a what would you rather.
Oh, well then do it and then come back to me.
I don't know where we're moving on.
Yeah. We moved on.
Was yours.
Would you rather have an individual world title in two separate events, so OCR and hybrid, like a world title in each, or would you rather have the number one podcast and that's all you do for your entire career? So you decide not to do a podcast anymore.
Joe Rogan signed $100 million deal.
Money wise, I wasn't going into money wise. You don't make much extra.
What does that mean? Much extra than what?
All right, let's say you make
then the millions we're already making.
All right, let's throw out a number. Let's say you make $50,000 a year. You can do whatever else you want in your other time. You're the number one podcast everyone listens to and stuff. You make $50,000 a year, or you can have two separate world titles.
Net or just off the podcast sponsorships? Like, can I go book speaking deals if I'm the number one ranked podcaster in the world?
All podcast related income. You can still coach on your own, whatever.
Okay.
But anything related to the podcast, it's capped at $50,000.
Taking them titles.
Titles.
Podcast, you idiots.
I'd make $50,000 as a trash collector.
Like, but you can do anything you want on top of it. We already podcast and do whatever we want on top.
4 hours a week.
Yeah, that's honestly, it's growing kind of old. Give me some titles.
Titles. You can do a podcast later.
I'll find a new co-host.
The number one in the world or the number one OCR podcast?
No, the number one world. Sorry, Joe Rogan. You might make your $100 million. Yeah. You're the number one. People are talking about it. You're getting Steve Nace.
You would influence so many more people's lives. But you're going to do it for one person. You're going to take a title for one person and see it.
Two titles.
I don't want to be famous. I want to be wealthy. So if I have to be famous and not wealthy, that's the worst.
That's true.
All right. How about if money's involved? Let's say you make the same exact amount of money, whatever. It's going to guarantee you to be the same. You have two world titles or the number one podcast in the world. Which one would you do?
So you're making the same amount no matter what?
But is it into perpetuity on winning these world titles, or is it just for your career?
You get your two. You get your two. Man, this is you guys are making me make a lot of exceptions. All I'm trying to say is, what do you value more, having a really good podcast or a couple world titles? But
you're not as good at the would you rather.
That's actually initially probably the best question, but it gets blurry quickly.
The gels and the chicken chips.
Well, it's a good question.
I don't know, because you're still at the top, but you still reach the top, which I guess is ultimately the same thing, you know, winning a championship and having the number one podcast. So if it's necessarily for an ego standpoint, you're kind of doing the same thing.
Would you rather inspire people or teach people? You'd rather teach people.
Well, also, if you have the number one podcast, most likely.
Wow, scrutiny.
Well, that, but you're also bringing some people along with you. It's like, are you the reason it's number one, or are the co-hosts? Like, that's.
Oh, we didn't talk about co-hosts. Yeah. We have co-hosts?
None of us acknowledge that there's co-hosts.
No.
Oh, no. So you just want the Bracken podcast, not like Reinforced Running or Race Brain or Running Public? You don't want any of those to.
You're putting bad words in my mouth, and I don't like it.
All right, we'll just move on. Clearly, this is a bad question.
I'm going podcast. Final podcast. Answer.
I feel like we're guilted into it because Kirk's like, are you a bad person or a good person? Would you rather be a good person or a bad person?
I'm that's exactly what I was trying to do.
Well, shit.
I just wanted the option that was rich person and let me decide the rest.
Yeah, I like that too.
Come on.
So if I could train full-time or podcast full-time, probably train full-time.
If it was a solo podcast, Bracken, would it be the cheese and cracker podcast, but you'd actually just eat cheese and podcast?
No.
Instead of, no.
Do a fine tapes
podcast.
I found out doing that solo episode that I wouldn't be able to make it a week. That would not be enjoyable. It was not enjoyable at all.
I've been going solo the past like 3 or 4 weeks. I like it. I'm in.
So, Rich, there was actually one of the questions that we got asked was about, you know, the four of us. Do you want to read that one?
Oh, it was like our origin story?
I have one last AMA, then we can move on. Not AMA. Okay, would you rather?
Make a transition.
Good. Nice.
Transition later abruptly in the true running public way.
Just like an exit
based?
For your episode.
Yeah, championship based. All right. Yeah. So you only get to run
the championship.
You get to run one race per year. Would you rather have it be a world championship? And you're guaranteed to win it. A world championship that pays nothing, but everyone knows about it. Or a race that no one knows about, and you make $1 million per year on that race.
A million?
So you can pick your world championship. Olympics, world championship, like track and field, high rocks, world's toughest, whatever you want. But you're not allowed to accept any money related to it. But everyone knows about it. Or you run some race in your backyard that no one knows about, but you're guaranteed to win that as well, and you get $1 million every year for winning it.
$1 million's
the I just run in my backyard like, and get $1 million. Come on.
Taking that million.
If you made it like 50K, it might every be year. Worth a discussion, but $1 million, there's a no-brainer.
You could,
right?
Yeah, you could win a
$100,000. How about that? $100,000. You give up winning the Olympics every year for the rest of your career for $100,000 a year.
For an easy hundo a year?
Well, if it's the Olympics, you could probably make some.
Not allowed to. You said cannot benefit from it anyway.
In any way.
But everyone knows about it.
Well, then there's no benefit.
It's pure fame or pure fortune?
Fortune.
So you'd be the broke famous guy that you said is the worst.
You can work on the side. You can have your moderately successful podcast.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'll run.
But the podcast.
Backyard, get 100,000.
But you'd benefit because from the podcast following. Like that, you just wouldn't. That would just be like a different world. Like, oh, this world champion has a podcast. But like,
no one batted an eye when Jack said you have the best podcast and you can only make $50,000. Lay off me.
Doesn't it suck when they critique?
Wait, what?
Yeah. Okay, let's cap it at Jack's $50,000.
That was Kirk's $50,000. But
Kirk's $50,000. No, you capped at $50,000 a year, but you win the Olympic title every year. Or you get.
How? It's once every 4 years.
World championships in between, Jack. Stop stepping on the Olympic dreams.
Title. That there's 1 year.
Well, world championship.
You run one race out of every year, 4 years. You're guaranteed to win it.
So would you just be like a swimmer then? We're talking about. Would you?
Could I be like an 87-year-old and I'm still winning this?
Yeah. Is it much different than actually being an Olympic champion in track and field? Is what you're laying out? It's like you don't really. How much?
You get your Visa commercial after and make a couple hundred grand.
Not if you do fencing or something.
I was just watching Ridiculousness this weekend at the hotel with Lisa, and the Olympic champ fencer was on there, and he was enormous.
He's big?
And their name
was? Yoked?
I couldn't tell yoked, but like I would guess well like 6'5", 6'6", with huge long arms.
That makes sense. Bang. Yeah. Bang.
Which he made it seem like is atypical, but.
The only way you're going to beat him is if you're like 5'3". And like 105 pounds.
He said, I have reach on everyone, but I'm a bigger target.
That's true. I feel like fencers, they stand with their feet the way that the Notre Dame Fighting Irish guy stands with his feet. Just kind of like both toes in opposite directions.
He was tatted up all the way up the neck. You never would have guessed fencing. Look at this guy. Full sleeves.
That seems
what would
cool.
Offend, what would you stereotype a fencer if they walked in the door? What would you expect them to look like, Bracken?
They'd be French.
Like, what are they wearing?
I picture it as aristocrats, like clean cut, high income level. This guy came over here from the UK, was in trouble as a youth, and got into, he had like three options to turn his life around. Like, you got to go do one of these three things. And he chose fencing because he wanted to stab people.
Wants to be petty.
Typical path.
In his words.
Yeah. No, that's
likes Game of Thrones, like, let me get a sword and see what I can do with this.
Anyways, just interesting connection to fencing. How's that for a transition?
If we could, if we won that world championship that didn't benefit from it all, could we go on Ridiculousness? Would that count?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah, you just can't get an appearance fee for it.
Oh, that's not good. I'm taking that money.
I'm taking the money.
Yep. Money.
Somebody wanted to know our origin story, kind of how we all met, how this all kind of came together. I was thinking about it. I could tell it in like 1 second and it would be unremarkable, but we could dive into it a little bit more, I guess.
I want to hear your unremarkable one sentence story.
Well, like, we started just doing like fantasy drafts on reinforced running. Bracken, we knew each other from basically doing podcasts.
Why don't we, I'm going to stop you. I think this is a better idea. First,
I guess I can't tell in one sentence.
The first time we all met each other. Why don't we start at square one and then how, like, our first interactions with each other.
One by one?
Where it began. Yeah.
Who has the oldest existing relationship?
Probably you and Kirk.
Well, yeah, you guys are near each other. I don't know.
Could
you guys
be Midwest? You know what, Bracken? We both raced the 2014 Warrior Dash. Where I don't think that like we knew each other then. We were at the same venue for sure. And I specifically remember in 2015, because I was still living in Texas at Dallas Stadium, you ran that race and you won by like 4 minutes or something like that. Stadium. And I remember being
you had barefoot shoes on, didn't you?
No, I never did that.
You did zero drop shoes.
He still wears barefoot shoes.
Oh, I thought you meant like the Vibrams or whatever. I'm like, no, I don't do those.
Same day.
Yeah. But anyway, I remember being in like the sixth heat or something like that. I'm like, man, I just wish that I could someday be in that heat with that fast guy, Bracken. I remember thinking that. And
when were your first words exchanged? When you actually...
We did a lot of stadium series together, but that was kind of like 2018. We definitely talked before then.
We talked in Colorado at the apartments.
Yeah, 2016, because you were still living right across from Cheyenne Mountain High School. So yeah, probably 2016.
Kirk, when did we talk for the first time?
Me and you stood a foot apart and didn't say a word to each other at my first Spartan race. In Chicago, you came 2017? To watch. That was 2016. You were Mike Ferguson's coach, and Mike and I had met. So you guys were chatting, and I kind of just went up. There was a small group, and you were in the group, but we didn't acknowledge.
Like, we did not
acknowledge each other's presence.
You had your red 2XU shorts on.
I did that day, and then the first time we actually met,
I was just a guest.
He didn't have underwear on underneath.
First time we met was the following year in 2017 when you actually came out to run with me, Mick, and Mike Ferguson.
You guys trashed me on those trails.
Me and Mike did. Mick stayed back with you. But so I met you in March of 2017. And we actually had, and then I think we went out to dinner that night and whatever. But that was the first time I actually shook hands or spoke. So March of 2017.
You led me to steak tips at the. As the appetizer at that restaurant.
At Clive's. Roadhouse. Yeah.
So Jack, we're first.
And Rich, we met shortly after. Rich, I met you at TMX in 2017 in July in Minnesota. Yeah. And then I didn't meet you, Jack,
slow
in person until March of this year, last year.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
That's
crazy. Wild. And we talked a pretty decent amount before then, like just casually just messaging each other, and it's like, wow, I've known him for like 3 years and never
met,
somehow crossed paths, even though we both go to all these races.
Wow. Yeah, so that'd be our history.
I feel like I've known Jack since the beginning of OCR, and we didn't. So we went fall us, and then spring you, and then you met Rich in summer. And Rich, I have no clue when we met for the first time.
It would have been sometime in 2018. Because Kirk and I think Mike and a couple other athletes were on leaderboard, and I was really starting to try to take OCR serious at that point. And I was like, oh, these guys are getting some good results. Let me join up with this. So we spoke on the phone then, and then I think we met, Would it be either? Oh, Canada? And no, I think in Minnesota.
For what?
For this, the mountain race.
That was the first time we saw each other?
I think so.
Wouldn't have been Canada before that?
Canada.
You went to 17, Rich, I think, because you were the year that I didn't go.
OCR Worlds?
Was that 17? Did it 18? Oh, maybe it's
18. They went to London.
You're right. I was there in 17, but I don't think we came.
You were there with the rain year, right?
Yeah.
Did you come out to dinner with us at that sushi place?
No.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't have been on leaderboard at that point.
It would have been Minnesota then.
Or the what was City Field? That was that before or after Minnesota that year?
Or was that the next 2018 year? That both of us were in
which city?
Yeah.
The stacked one. Best stadium of all time.
That was before Minnesota.
So that
2018.
Spring.
But you Rich, didn't, you know, you probably didn't meet Bracken because both of us were in T2.
Well, I remember it was in
at the dugout afterwards we chatted, right?
I don't think so. I think Kent was there too, and I didn't really know him either. We were talking because the assault bike was coming out. We were standing in line waiting to register, and we had just talked. I think because we just started leaderboard. I don't think you didn't know who I was. I'm pretty sure you're probably like, oh, some fucking guy talking to me about stadium stuff. But we were talking about the assault bike and how long that was going to take.
Okay, so that would have been our start, 2018 spring. So we're the last to meet.
No, me and Jack by far.
Me and Kirk definitely.
Oh, right.
2022.
Yeah, that's right.
And Rich, for you and me, it was probably that City Field, like, because we were in the same corral, being like, man, it would have been nice being in that first heat with everybody else. But
yeah,
I remember the first time like that we actually hung out. That was at I did Citizens Bank in Philly, and then went back to I had a late flight, and we went back and hung out at your place for a few hours. And
we got Thai food. We had a nice like day.
You hurt my feelings the first time we met, Rich, because it was TMX. We both laid an egg. We commiserated a little, like, ooh, that was humbling. We exchanged numbers. I made it a point to invite you out with us that night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have woke up on the floor of my living room next to Hunter McIntyre, Matt Kempson, who didn't even remember how they got there. Could have been you, but you rejected me. I made it a point. I didn't even know you, and you said, "No, nice. I got better things to do."
I came. I had good friends that lived in.
Okay. I was going to say, not hard to convince Rich to go out.
Yeah, I would have hung out, dude. But I hung out with some different friends in Uptown. We were out tearing it up.
Okay.
But I do. Okay,
so now we've got the origin stories. So how did this podcast come to fruition for people who aren't aware?
First of all, I want to know, did anyone have a more intimate meeting than Jack and I? One of our first times actually spending time, we were wrestling.
Touching each other. I'm sure you and Kirk realistically definitely had that in your first meeting.
And if you had to pick of the four who wrestled each other the first time they met, you would pick Jack and I.
I did touch your butt also, the first time we met, Bracken. I don't know if you know that. We Me, Mike, and Mick held you up for a picture.
Oh, that's right.
And I had a handful of ass cheek. So we got close quick.
That was a bad day. So I was doing this progression building fitness that spring, and I was starting to really pop. And we all decided to get together for a workout, or Mike and I decided to. And he's like, Mick's going to come down for it, and I'm going to bring Kirk too.
Mick came and stayed with me for his spring break. He wasn't teaching, so we had a training week. This was the end of our whole training week together. So I wanted to beat up, actually.
I'd done a 6, 7, and 8 mile progression run on trails, and I needed a 9 mile to cap my block. And I'd been getting faster and faster, and I invited them up, and I thought, like, this is going to be really good to have some people to push me with the middle miles before I start really getting to work. And they dropped me by like mile 4 or 5. And I was off the back, and Mick hung on for a bit and then let it go and came back by me. And we just struggle busted in together. I'm like, what is this? Both of these guys just gave it to me today.
That's the day we met. That's right accurate. There.
Yeah. There's the aftermath.
Oh, maybe it's do I have a hand on your butt, or is it just looks like maybe
not in the photo, but I'm sure you snuck it in there somehow. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the day we met. Documentation.
I thought they were there to support my workout, and I took last. And it wasn't close.
That's a legendary photo, isn't it? Isn't that like I think it's been passed around. think we've seen that several times.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, Jack, you were saying we have our origin. Now, how did this come to fruition?
Yeah.
What I did is I just constantly messaged you three saying, like, can I be part of the group? Guys, let me in. Come on.
I was like, Brad, why does he keep messaging us? What is going on here? Yeah. Why does this keep happening?
I called Rich after we've been doing our fantasy stuff. I called him from a mountain in Arizona. I was on one of those runs, and my thoughts were just clicking, and I'm like, okay, Google, call Rich Ryan.
Jeez.
My phone started calling. And we couldn't hear each other. I was bombing down this mountain, feeling great, like chatting away. He's like, dude, I can't hear a friggin' word you're saying. Just call me back later.
There was something like that. There was some confusion where it seemed like I called you then, or like there was some message or something that was like, hey, I'll call you later. Or like there was some automated messages that came back. Can't talk. I was like, can't talk now. Call you later or something like that. I was like, this dude just called me. And now like, this is the message I'm getting back from him. What's going on here?
I was trying to run down a mountain and answer his call, and it wasn't working well.
It wasn't working. We figured it out.
And just for some other clarity, there was a point before Race Brain started that it was Rich, Bracken, and myself without Kirk. So that's why
this was the point. So then I called him. I had like this epiphany running down this Arizona mountain. I'm like, I think we need to bring Kirk in, and we should make it like a couples thing where it's like, I'm bringing my wife to the fantasy football draft, and no one ever likes that, but I'm like making it work. I said, I think we should do that. It'll be awesome. It'll make for good banter. And he's like, I don't know. It sounds kind of dumb, but we'll see.
I was like, I like it. Because I mean, I was like, if Kirk wants to do it, definitely. But I don't.
None of this was working to me. I had no idea.
No, this is behind the scenes.
I never did message anybody asking to be.
Did not. No,
I called Rich before I told you about it, Kirk, because I wanted it to be all greased up before you hit the tread.
Oh. Because I have his cards on the table. But yeah, we were doing the drafts on reinforced running. And when that idea first happened, I messaged Jack, and Jack's like, I don't know, I'm doing this ORM thing and this and that. I was like, dude, just do them both. It's fine.
He convinced me quickly. Yeah.
You're like, okay, done.
Yeah.
The reason it appealed to me because those were my favorite episodes of yours. Like, I don't really listen much, you know, really ever either. Like, you don't listen to us. However,
not enough bow hunting content.
On. Right. But I tuned in for those because they were highly entertaining. And so when I think Bracken asked me about it, I was like, yeah, that'd be like the one thing I for sure would want to be a part of, because I enjoyed listening as just a listener.
So. Your answer to everything is always, listen, if we're going to do it, we'll do it. But I just don't have time to do things. So like, you've got to guarantee, like, if we're going to do it, we have to do it consistently. And you guys put out like one randomly. If it's in my schedule, I'll do it. But like, we have to schedule it. That's your answer for everything. And that was your answer to that one.
That's true. That's right. Yeah.
Cause that was the thing. We were starting like, maybe we can start bi-weekly and just see where it goes. And I think Kirk and Bracken both were like, let's make it weekly and make sure we're doing the thing. If we're going to actually
I remember mapping out, it's like, what are we going to actually talk about? And it's like, wait a minute, we have 10 big races. So we do a pre and a post. So now we've got 20 episodes, and then surely a few other random things will pop up. I'm like, you know, you can probably fill like 40 weeks a year and then a few random topics or something.
Now we have episodes
it's a lot easier besides today. I feel like today's honestly like our first filler episode we've ever had. We've actually had like a plan at least the night before when Rich is like, what are we going to talk about tomorrow, guys? And then we figured out, but we've never really just like completely been winging it.
No, for sure. There's stuff. There's world championships like every freaking week. Yeah. Next week, we got North American championships for IROX. Like I said, I'm at acceptance.
Until we start talking about it.
What's the coverage as we're wrapping this conversation up? What's the coverage situation for next weekend?
Talk to BK. He's the guy. I don't know.
I don't think I am the guy because I got a call from Hunter McIntyre.
Is he the guy?
I don't know if it's public or not. He's like, hey, I've been asked to like commentate this race. You want to do this with me? I don't want to talk for 3 hours alone. I think it'd be better if I could chat with someone. I'm like, who's doing this? He's like, I don't know. It's like OCR or something. I'm like, well, that's every. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I said, tell you what. If I wasn't asked, there's probably a reason. It's either because it's a company that doesn't want me to do it, or it's a company that doesn't want to pay me. So why don't you find out if I'm wanted or not, and I'll do it if they want it. So my answer is yes to you, but I'm not going to like force my way into the booth. Hmm. And then 24 hours later, Rich is like, listen up. You're off the bench. You're in the game, like it or not. Ice those knees. Let's go.
You're basically like Josh Johnson right now for the 49ers. It's like you were definitely not my first, second, or third choice.
In that part, yeah, but I really hope I don't fumble and perform like that.
No. Christian McCaffrey playing quarterback. Bracken, just hang out with me during the elite race. We can boo the Euros.
I imagine we're going to be running, like coming off of rower and lunges, and I'm just going to be just like I was on Cali last year, just like trying to hold on to Rich's shoulder, fighting for everything, and he's just going to be sitting there just talking, just yapping at everyone on the sideline, like, this is what you're missing out on, and just running his mouth the whole race because I'm just dying to hang on.
I hope that's how that plays out. That's what I envision as well.
I think Rich is going to suffer more than anybody, to be honest.
He's going to have to work so hard.
I think Rich is in for a real deal.
That's what I want. That's all I want. I just want to go and work hard for this suffer thing. So it's great.
Yeah, I'm gonna not hear his safe word like every time. He's like, all right, switch. I'm gonna be on the other side of him. I'm gonna shift out of eyesight where he's never gonna be able to make eye contact with me. He's like, Bracken, you're up. I'm like, no, you're good. I can tell you got to keep going. One more lap.
Bracken, were you a better individual track athlete or relay guy?
Relay, and it's not even close.
Perfect.
If it's individual, I'm a miser with my pain and my effort. And if it's a relay, I'm just gonna sell out.
Me, I feel the same way.
I will sit and kick, like in college, whether we were running like 420 mile pace or 4 flat mile pace, I was going to sit and kick or get dropped. Relay, I'm running out on whoever's got that lead stick and we're going after it.
Heck yeah. See, we're going to be fine.
But what he's also saying is if you're in the lead, he's going to sandbag. Remember that.
Yeah. There's multiple heats. We got to sign up too. We got to sign up.
We should sign up.
We should probably sign up. That'll be on the docket. I don't have Wi-Fi. Can't do it. Can't do shit.
No way of accessing the internet, Kirk, right now.
Can't do shit.
Scale of 1 to 10. What are the odds we're going to see you drive down and hang out with us this week, next weekend?
0.
Oh. Okay. 0 being the best, most likely?
Flat out.
No, it's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Least likely. One scale of 1 to 10, off the scale, on the negative.
Yeah. With how much I think I have, that will be my one open weekend between now and then, like, the end of March.
And you prioritize your relationship with your boys, right? It's like, this is our only chance to do this. Let's do it.
No, it's more like I got to take care of business at home.
Yeah, I got to keep those spiders at bay.
There's a lot of them here.
Yeah. We have I forget the name of them, but those closet moths, pantry moths, we've got that right now, and it sucks.
When we were recording yesterday, one dangled down from my ceiling right on camera.
What?
I took care of it. Just a little one. It was all right.
Got the exterminators coming.
Yeah.
He's a man. He doesn't care about spiders.
I don't care.
I would have grabbed a track spike.
I never was that worried about spiders either.
They're good for you.
I don't like the idea of a snake. I don't want to see that.
Anything that moves without legs, I don't trust.
Yeah, we had like 5 snakes fish? in our yard.
That's true.
You don't like fish. Okay.
I really like fish. I don't know. Don't listen to me.
Move on land.
I was mowing the grass last year, and there were 5 different snakes that I saw at one point because they get startled once the motor's going and stuff. And I was like,
you have a home?
I
got a
I have a home.
I thought you were in a townhome or a condo.
No, we bought this in July 2018. I'm almost
because the way your internet works screams I have a landlord.
No, yeah,
I just assumed you were in a condo unit or a townhome.
No, I even offered if you guys like I offered Rich last year for 4 cars and if you wanted to stay here and
congratulations,
all 4 homeowners now.
Yeah,
look at us.
Look
at us.
Adults.
Good job, sorry. Jack.
Yeah. Took us till we're all in our mid to late 30s. How old were you guys when you bought your first house?
Okay, so
36.
Well, I am right.
29.
29. Okay.
20.
We got super lucky. Three? Colorado Springs, the whole world. Who are we kidding? Like a few years ago, everyone was just like outbidding each other and everything. We toured the house on Air Force Academy graduation day, and there was a hailstorm, and like no one went out for some reason, and they had like a one day showing, and there were only a handful of bidders as opposed to 20, 30 deep, like a lot of places. And we just got the winning bid and we got so lucky.
Nice. Yeah, before everything kind of really spiked, I mean, I'm sure your value is pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Congrats.
I graduated college, got engaged that summer. We bought a home that winter.
Wow.
Just like I had a job waiting when I was in college. So I had a salary. It was just, she was already teaching for a year. So it just, we just moved right into that.
Just grew up. You're like, hey, you want to grow up right now? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. I was like, I'm going to push this back quite a bit.
Give me a decade at least.
Yeah. You were in a city though. We were out in the country.
My last question for you guys is, how many of you here have to pee so bad you can't wait to stop what we're doing?
I'm good to go. Hard work this morning. Dehydrated.
Never have to go.
I'm the only one who always has to pee.
I almost stopped to pee on the way in. I'm like, I'm going to be late. I'm always late. I'm not doing it. And I haven't had to pee this whole time. I don't know what happened. I just beat it, I think.
You beat it?
I can easily hold it.
I'll never solve it. Next time, I'll try.
Rich, before we go then, what was your big workout this morning? Because I had a big workout yesterday and I'm feeling her today.
Are you feeling it? It was high rocks E for sure. It was like three rounds. First round, 1,000 meters. It was run, 1,500 meter ski, 40 burpees over the rower, 1,000 meter run, 2 minutes rest. Then similar run, 1,500 meter row, 75 walking lunges, 1,000 meter run. Then I like the way this is a good thing. I've enjoyed this last one. It's 1,000 meter run, 1,000 meter row, 60 wall balls, 1,000 meter row, 1,000 meter run, 60 more wall balls. So splitting those wall balls into two different pieces is like kind of a mental grind for sure.
Nasty.
It took about an hour.
Gross.
I did a 1,000 meter run, row, 1,000 meter run, station. Three rounds of that.
Mm. Yeah, pretty similar.
I did 7,000 meters of K repeats. And then I took 30 seconds rest after the run, did half of the station work, and then 30 more seconds rest, and then got back to the run. So it's to simulate about how much I'd have rest if you were bookending the work, and then tried to see what could I work at and what could I run.
Yeah, I might do something similar. I'll do something like that maybe later this week to see what it's like with a little bit of rest built in.
Try to row sub 150, try to run six-ish, try to lunge unbroken, try to burpee broad jump quick, that kind of stuff.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be something.
It's going to be a blast.
If you can just see the look on Kirk's face, he's like, just end this, guys. I got a piece so
bad. You guys remember when I asked that question?
Oh, that's what you meant.
So what was the best workout you guys ever had?
Last big
time. You knock it off.
30 seconds. I did a trail race this past weekend, four miles right near my. No, I'm just doing a
quick I run. Hold the and end broadcast button. I can click it at any time.
The guy who won was the high school state champ from Colorado. Guy's fast. That's all I was going to say.
Okay. What'd you do?
17-year-olds are fast these days. I was a little over 20 seconds faster versus the same course that I ran last year, and it was worse conditions. So feeling good about where the fitness is coming.
Yeah. Fit.
Should ask Jack.
Running public.
Rich.
We got a show. It's his anniversary. Kirk can't be imposing like that. I'm sure he would want to go to Chicago in February, but I mean, for an anniversary. Yeah. What do we got on the running public? We got Kirk talking more about SoCal.
Yeah, what the first race means for a season.
Okay.
Nice. Yep. What about you? Another solo deal? You just
solo.
Is that the lazy man's podcasting? You don't have to schedule with anybody. Yeah. You don't. Or is it more work?
It's not. It's definitely work. I'm not just like turning it on and just like talking like stream consciousness. I'm like prepping what I'm doing. So it's like probably about the same, but less annoying work. Like scheduling people is like a little annoying. But yeah. I think I'm going to have an interview later this week, though. So I'm still doing some. But you guys do the interviews. You guys, Matt Davis, Obstacle Running Adventures. Who else does interviews? They all do interviews. They all talk on the same. I talked about the language in running, and this would be an interesting conversation to have with you guys, and kind of how like there's all these different categories for different style, like different like pacing, and like what it really means, and how much do we really need it from like an OCR hybrid perspective.
I'll give you credit. Two athletes I work with right now are prepping for high. Several are prepping for High Rocks, but two of them both mentioned your videos.
Nice.
That they keep referring back to. One, I think about rowing. The other one was your sled video.
I'm going to row one because I don't want to end up like Hunter.
Okay. Yeah, it was sled and then something else. But they use your sled video like almost weekly to check in and refresh themselves before workout. So Kirk's so in pain right now.
I'm giving you the 30-second timer. Anybody else need to wedge something in there?
No, we're good.
That'll be all.
Jesus Christ.
Thanks, folks.
I'm ending it. I get to do this today. This is great. I'm hitting it in 3, 2, 1. See ya.
Bye.